This week, Big Brother is watching you, echoes from deep within your Oculus Rift controller as Facebook deploys another shaggy defense for its actions. That's just one media titan getting caught on camera. Again, stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 772 for this April the 14th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, here with all you lovely folks over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network and on our podcast feed to talk about, you know, video games over the next few hours with my co-hosts across from me, sometimes on cam when she feels like it. Say hello to Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers.
Sup?
Hi, how are you?
I have the ache of head.
I meant
to put my hat on the screen.
Headaches are not good.
There you go. There's my new hat.
Well, I was hoping you might show the shirt a little bit too, if you're willing.
I'm just reading about Captain Marvel.
Just to tell the story a little bit. One of our listeners and longtime supporters, Chris, from the Let's Be Legendary podcast. That's the name, right? Picked up that shirt for you like 10 years ago. And now you're able to put that on again. You're looking fabulous. Look at you. All right. And I love that you're number zero. That's fantastic. So there she is, everybody. In the flesh. Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
Don't get used to it.
Well, I hope the headache feels better. But joining,
that's what drugs are for.
Joining us also in studio, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
I do feel better. Thank you for asking.
Did you have a headache too?
No.
I was like,
I am the headache. So.
Oh, you are the headache. Yes. I see.
I got it, Rob.
You actually brought into the studio tonight, and we were playing with this.
Oh, yeah. I have left trash behind.
Minutes before the Bobby Blackwolf show gave us a call there, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, Twitch.tv/VOG Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you had brought this in, switch, and we were checking that out. So, yes, there's no strap or anything. You do have to just kind of, like, hold it up and do it this way. But that's the Nintendo Labo.
Yeah, a lot of their the toys that they require you to use just the basic headset without any attachments to it and then a controller, it's a little awkward because they're like, hold on to the headset and hold on to the controller at the same time. It's like, that could have been explained better, but...
Well, I wasn't planning to talk about this at the top of the show, and I know it's kind of dabbing into our gaming weeks a little bit. You notice it's not on the little side ticker, because I didn't plan to talk about it. But since you did bring the Nintendo Labo VR, I'm kind of curious of your impressions, having played with it for as much as you have, and putting the whole thing together.
I think it's good. I'm just surprised how well-engineered it is, because all the stuff that you put together is just very solid. It's just the amount of time that must have taken to actually design all that is just kind of incredible.
For a bunch of cardboard,
yeah. It's really well put together.
I think the thing that's most impressive is that bird attachment.
The bird's pretty cool, yeah.
And I don't know, can we show it on Twitch? And I apologize to folks that are listening to us on the podcast feed, but maybe somebody will clip this on Twitch for you or something. Because the clip stuff on Twitch is totally free.
Oh, I took the beak out.
Oh, you took the beak out.
I'll put the beak back in.
Okay, so put the beak back in. So there's this bird attachment, and when you actually put in the Switch controller into the bird controller thing, which you push down to flap the wings and all this, and there's this like little bird thing. So there you go. Okay, so he's putting it back together for us. So I will read some comments in chat real quick, because, of course, while we tape live, we love to read comments in our chat room. There you go. And so I love that. So the little Wiimote, the Switch thing becomes like the beak. And so right now it looks like it's attacking you the way you're flapping the wings and it's next to you. But that's what it is. That's smart. That's a very Nintendo kind of thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. They've got like the camera.
Wait, we can't hear you. You got to remember. Sorry. I know you're trying to hold.
Sorry. Then they have the camera. And then what's kind of cool is they have it actually click like for the lens. So you can actually... And then it's got the actual camera, the IR stuff facing outwards.
So Pokemon Snap VR confirmed?
No, well, not right now. So in this, they have two modes. So they have one that you can actually take pictures of fish, and then one that you take pictures of this thing that I think is supposed to be a cat, but it's this weird alien cat thing. And then
they should have a mode where you can take pictures of Mr. Smush.
And unfortunately, it fell apart. But I have a there's this. It's supposed to be a snorkel. So it's a snorkel, and what's kind of cool is because the infrared camera is facing out, when you wear it, the fish that's closest to you gets this weird human face. Not like we're not talking about, like, you know, Seaman human face, but it has, like, these weird bug eyes. And then anything that you do with your head, the fish mimics. And so you could take pictures of that.
Oh, it's like those emojis on Apple.
It's weird, but yeah, it's silly. So, whatever.
Okay. So that's just a very Nintendo thing to do. So tell us about some of the – okay, so you've obviously shown off some of the cardboard stuff here in studio. What about, like, some of the games that are in it and all these, like, mini
games?
There's
a lot of games in there. So they have games for each of the – like, main games for each of the things that you build. So, like, the camera, there's, you know, the taking pictures of fish. There's taking pictures of that weird cat thing. But then there's, like, these little mini games that they have in this VR, like, toy box thing. So they have, like, cannon firing stuff. There's, like, all sorts of weird little things you can, like, move around and do little simple things. They have – I haven't even delved into it. There's some that are actually non-VR, too. They have, like, mixed up stuff like pinball and, like, weird things. But there's, like – for each of the toys, there's, like, a bunch of mini games, and then there's a bunch of main games for it as well. And then there's videos they have in there, so you can watch, like, 3D videos. Some are really weird, very Japanese. There's the whole creation stuff.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. And they even have, like, I didn't even delve into it too much, but I looked at it. There's, like, build your own FPS, build your own adventure thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, what is this? I
saw that in the previews.
But like there's a ton of stuff in there.
Now, Dark Sakura, I know you don't usually do the VR thing because, you know, you get headaches and motion sickness. You've talked about before, even when playing first-person shooters. But the curiosity took over. You had to peek. So what did you think for the 2 minutes you did it?
I watched birds swing around on poles and, like one of those little, hold on, like that.
Yeah.
And then, because everyone who's not watching will really see that I did twisty fingers. I wanted to knock the blocks over that were forming the menu because I couldn't get shit to happen. But
we're just hitting the wrong button. No, to be fair, we rushed through this to try
And I was feeling really sick even after the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's just my eyes, like, will unfocus on things and then they won't refocus and then it's instant vertigo.
But I did notice that when you sat down, you still said something about, I want to see the Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I'd still want to, like, just look around in Breath of the Wild, like tourist mode.
I feel like that's what most people are going to do because the Breath of the Wild thing isn't in it yet, right?
No, that doesn't come out until next week.
In like 2 weeks, right? So,
and I also don't have Breath of the Wild, so you know.
You can use my copy for a demo.
For VR, you got it, yeah. But I imagine most people, like, I cannot imagine sitting there trying to actually play Breath of the Wild. I mean, I know you could plug in the Joy-Cons. Thank you for chat.
Gonna have to because there's no way you can hold everything.
I was like,
I'm pro controller.
I don't even get sick, motion sick really. I mean, well, I don't like to do VR for more than like 30 minutes. I just don't. Like, I have to take a break every now and then, but I think that's kind of normal. I think they encourage you to take breaks for 3 days.
Yes, they say it a lot. Even when you're building everything, they're like, why don't you take a break?
Yeah, take a break.
You've been doing this for too long. Stop. 15.
You earned it. But anyway, I can only see myself doing the Breath of the Wild stuff in short bursts. Like I would go into a temple and be like, ooh, pretty, look around. Or climb to the top of a mountain. Ooh, that's pretty, done. You know, but I guess, you know, if it was a relatively easy thing for Nintendo to implement, which it must have been, then, you know, cool. It's like added value. I love when Nintendo puts like new value in like really old titles. And they've been pretty good about doing this a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ha ha ha. Apparently HBO Go crashed.
Oh, from all the people watching that other thing that's going on tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So
there's already bets as to who dies first.
All right. Well, let's not talk about that. Let's focus on video games. And comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Double O Waldorf, who I'm going to refer to here. What game? We're talking about the Nintendo Labo VR experience.
Yeah.
And then Breath of the Wild being plugged in there. But I do want to start today's show kind of like segueing. Since we talked about like Nintendo adding these value experiences to really, you know, older titles, I want to start with what I had planned to do for the kickoff topic tonight and talk a little bit about maybe not so great free, not free things in games. And this is a trend I think we're seeing. It's not unique to this game, but we're seeing it more often, and this is definitely a big title. So Resident Evil 2 got a remake recently. I know Dark Sakura, you're a big fan, right? So I'd be very curious what you think about this. So apparently, what you can do is, if you want, you can just pay $4.99, and you can buy in the shop an in-game rewards unlock add-on, and this would allow you to unlock the two extra playable modes, costumes, bonus weapon, and art. And it should be noted, all of these things are what you would unlock.
Yeah, we have them anyway.
Right, right. You guys did this anyway. So this is the whole pay $5 to get it now type of thing.
Stupid. Because you get it anyway.
Yeah, but if you're impatient. And we should point out, this is not a trend in the industry unique to Resident Evil 2. It's just, this is...
It was either Mafia 2 or The Godfather. I think it was The Godfather.
I was Godfather on the
Xbox
360.
It was The Godfather because on Xbox 360, you had the cheats that were in the game were paid DLC versus the PlayStation 2 and Xbox versions of that game. The cheats were button presses that you would do, like a combination of button presses to unlock different cheats. But they decided... EA, of course, I know, shocking, decided that they would sell that to you because they like all of the money. So that's why this is the way it is, and that's why our industry is the way it is.
Well, now, the 360, you know, that was several years ago at this point. So apparently this trend, I mean, people must be buying them or we wouldn't continue to do this, right?
Well, right. They dangle it in front of you because, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? It doesn't get purchased. I mean, who cares? It's just, it's a key. I'm sure it's very minimal.
Because I bet Sony and Microsoft, I mean, I don't know this to be true. Maybe you know, but I bet Sony and Microsoft don't exactly charge these guys money to have these things on the store. I mean, maybe if Steam charged people a little more money, I guess they do charge like $100 to get listed on the store. But you have all this
garbage. Recoupable.
Yeah, that's right. It's recoupable and all that. But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess there's really no harm in putting it out there because some people are going to buy it, if nothing else.
And it's just this whole mobile marketplace type thing. You know, even I was watching, like, impressions of the Elder Scrolls Blades that just recently came out and how grindy that is. Like, you earn chests in the game. It's like, oh, but you're going to wait 5 minutes to open that chest.
I did see a story today. We cut it from the show roll tonight because I don't think any of us have played the Elder Scrolls Blades yet. I don't know. Darksiger, did you check it out? I know you play a lot of cell phone music. She's saying no. So, I heard that, like, as of, like, today or yesterday, Bethesda's actually responded they are going to be adjusting some of that balance. Because,
adjusting, not removing.
You know, a lot of angry people on the internet have made them kind of reevaluate that stuff. And probably a lot of those one-star reviews in the store.
I kept meaning
to check it out. I wanted to check it out.
They have adjusted some things. Like, there were certain chests, I think, that took, like, 5 hours to open, and they dropped it down to, like, 1 hour instead or something like that. But I don't know. It's just not my thing. It's a mobile game. I know that they want to say, well, it's a true Elder Scrolls experience. But no, it's not. It's a mobile game. It's a mobile game experience.
Do we think... Now, I'm curious, and I want to ask our chat room this as well over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I want to look at the other side because I think a lot of us gamers, especially those that have been around for a very long time... remember the days of up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start was the only, you know, code you needed, right, to unlock the extra help or whatever. I'm curious if anybody would be willing to say they see a positive in this. Like, maybe there's a reason you would want to do this. I mean, I don't really like it, so I'm really having to kind of try to put my feet or my, you know, put the other shoes on my feet to kind of think this way. But I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, a positive could be, you know, we have had a lot of talk about how difficult some games can be, and maybe if some people are willing to pay to make that easier, although, like, as the words are leaving my mouth, I kind of go, God, that just seems shitty, though. Like,
no,
I
don't think we should have to pay for that.
But, okay, my point, like, maybe I'm not phrasing it the right way, but my point is that, like, how many people can beat Contra? Even people that claim to be hardcore. Yes, I know you and your husband, Jamie, but you guys are anomalies. You know that. But how many people can beat Contra without that code, right? So y'all need a little bit of skill adjustment once in a while. All of you do, except the crazy people like Dark Sakura and her husband. And I say
but
that
was the half the fun. Like with games, like I loved owning the game genie because I'd rent stuff and I'd play it. And if it's too hard, I just go find the codes for it. Of course, back then, you didn't have, like, the internet to find codes. You had to rely on either gaming magazines or you had to buy a code book that had games in it. And then hopefully the one that you're trying to play has, you know, codes for it. But that was where the fun was, because 30 lives wasn't even enough sometimes with Contra.
Yeah, that's the truth. So, and it's funny because later in the show, we're going to be taking a look at like old Nintendo games that get boosted in the Nintendo Switch Online library. And sometimes even that isn't enough to get through certain things.
Yeah.
So some games still remain very, very hard. But again, oh, you know what? Great example. There's Nintendo boosting something for free while these other companies are charging $5 for it. But it's not just, you know, and I know I'm picking on Resident Evil here, but of course we know EA does this as well. Heck, our show, our roots are in music gaming, right? I'm positive that when I went on PlayStation 4, there was a DJ Max Technica thing that you could download that would unlock everything that you would get just from playing enough of this. You know how like every time you play like three or four songs, you get like a little thing, and sometimes you get extra songs. I'm not talking DLC. I'm talking like some of the extra like remixes and some of the original tracks that show up in the game. They sell a key to unlock all that stuff out the gate as well, because it does take a long time to unlock.
And I get that if you have, you know, less time to play that stuff and you want to play certain things, maybe that's an option for you. But at the same time, when you do stuff like that, it kind of ruins the point of the game, because the whole point is that you're unlocking everything, and once you've unlocked everything, then what? I mean, I guess with a music game, you can play songs and get better at them, but, you know, what's the point if we're, like, unlocking? I don't know. I think if you're going to put that option in there, that it should be something that is free later on down the road or something, but they can make a buck. And people aren't going to complain about it, although apparently people write articles about it, so somebody's not liking it. But at the same time, it's been like this for years now, and it's more of like, oh, there's another company doing that. Still going to buy their game because...
So if you don't like it...
Who am I going to protest? Everybody?
If you don't like it, don't buy it. The end of the day, right? Bottom line. If you don't like it, don't buy it. Most important thing.
Well, I mean, you can't say that about everything, because there are some games now, and they've gotten smart about it, is like they'll patch that shit in later. So like, for example, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, you know, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is probably one of the best FPS games, you know, ever made. Then they decided, hey, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and fucking put some loot boxes in there now. Even though you purchased the game and they weren't in there originally, and if you were
totally taking a lot of shit for doing that,
but we're gonna throw it in there now.
You know what though?
And resell you that DLC.
I liked what you kind of like referenced there, where you said something about like you could come back a year later and then it could be free. Like that would be a great way for developers to kind of get people to revisit maybe an old title. Is that after a year, why not just put out that sort of DLC for free? And the value is that more people revisit the game, more people play the game, talk about the game.
So and then you can sell your Resident Evil whatever remaster.
You put the game on sale, and now maybe you sell a few more copies because people know they can just unlock everything out the gate or whatever maybe was stopping them before. I think that's a very Nintendo-ish idea to do, is just like make that code or whatever free a year, if even that long, 6 months after the game is out. Maybe, I guess, if they feel the need to charge for it out the gate, then whatever. I still don't think they
all
should,
they'll do is they'll bundle it together with the game. They'll reduce the price down to the original cost of the game, be like, look at the deal you're getting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't give this industry the benefit of
that. Social media sees straight. Where do people find out about most of those sales? Social media. Who sees through that shit right off the bat? Social media. You know what I mean? So I feel like I realize a lot of game company executive boardroom type discussions don't think gamers are that smart, but like I kind of think we are. And like, you know, your sale is not going to gain a lot of traction if it's very clear it's a stupid sale.
Yeah.
So that's where my head's at on that. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat over twitch.tv/VOG Network. Pod Culture says Forza Horizon has a key to unlock a map to find all the barn find cars. And Bobby adds to that in that last damn bonus board. Yeah, and that's like stuff, you know, and I always thought that was really silly too, because I was like, you have an internet and the internet can just
I was gonna
have
say
all the location. I mean, I understand it's awfully convenient to just unlock it in the game and then use the magic GPS to take you there. I get it. But like, it's not like you can't download a high resolution map and just see everything right there. Like, it's just, it's kind of blows my mind that they actually make money off that, but I get it. People want to collect stuff in those types of collectible games, I guess. Let's see. And Bobby says it's hard to figure out which bonus boards you don't have when there's 200, though. But wants to point out, I've never paid for the treasure map. But I see, so it's kind of like you're sitting there at 199 out of 200. You have no idea where that last board is. Maybe looking at a map on the internet isn't going to help, because you're going to see all 200. You're not going to remember which 199 you already have.
I remember that they did something similar to that. I think it was in Crackdown 1 where they for people that were down to like the very last few things, it was, they actually had it where there was a detector that kind of let you know where some of the last few orbs to collect were, because I know when it got down, it's like, oh great, I have two left. Where the hell are they? I've been all over this map like crazy. So it like actually makes them louder so you can hear them and stuff, because yeah, it was a pain in the ass. In fact, in Crackdown 1, I never did get all of them because I couldn't find the last like however many I had left, probably less than five, and I was like all over that map.
ActDeft points out the Dragon Ball FighterZ also does it, and you can buy a key to unlock some of the characters that you unlock while playing the game.
But I could see a little bit too, because like if you're saying not really into just going through the story mode and progressing through that. Normally, maybe you're into the fighting game scene or something, and you want to play those characters that you want to main as, then maybe unlocking them now would be beneficial to you. I don't know. But see, you know, back then what we used to do is just download a save off the internet and then put it in there, and all this stuff was unlocked, or there would be a code you'd put in a menu and unlock all the characters, or a Game Genie code that would unlock all the characters. I mean, there's lots of ways around everything.
We need, where did the Game Genie, Gottlieb? Is that who made the Game Genie? Who made the Game
Gottlieb?
Genie? Was Gottlieb? We need them to come back and make a Game Genie for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
You can't.
That's what we need. What do you mean you can't?
You can't do that anymore.
Is he, hacks. Hack the planet.
I can't put the CD in the cartridge. It doesn't work.
You're not trying hard enough.
You can't push the digital games.
But you can put Linux on it, Loki. There's got to be a way. Just get the Game Genie. Oh, Galoob. Sorry, very simple. Galoob. Thank you. It was Galoob.
Are they
very
even around
Gottlieb,
still?
Gottlieb makes pinball games, I think.
They did.
I want the pinball Game Genie. What's that? Is that like tilting the
table? It's called going into the menu and changing the rule set.
Yeah, or sawing the legs down. Turning
and
the
then putting a big blocker right behind the flippers.
Or turning the tilt
off. Or what we used to do is strip or put a rubber band in like between the, was it the channels going down towards the bottom? Just put rubber bands on the side so it only can go down the center.
Oh, permanent, like ball save?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did it with Attack on Mars. That was fun.
Okay.
Made the game much easier. Still hard, yeah, though, because it's pinball, but a lot easier than it would have been otherwise.
I like that. All right. Let's get into some other topics that we have here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight. One way we always like to start the show is by talking about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we've been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Yeah.
That fun, huh?
I really didn't do much. I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing on my phone, mm-hmm, and trying to farm an ingress at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just little bits and pieces. It's just I've had migraines all week from some problems I'm having in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been really hard for me to just sit and look at a screen for any significant amount of time outside of doing my job.
But you're building up hype for Animal Crossing on Switch, right?
I really want it.
I know.
And then Dan will never see the Switch again.
He'll have to buy a second one.
Right.
All right. Well, if that's all you got for now.
And pinball. I mean, there is pinball.
Okay, so there is still that. So you're still gaming something. It's just not maybe video games right now.
Yeah.
What? You guys just got a new pinball table, right?
No. Well, what's we had Ghostbusters for a while. That was our last new one.
I thought there was something.
We sold Demolition Man.
Okay, you sold
and
that.
We're selling Monopoly.
Right, and you're selling
I may be selling World Cup to Mella Melody.
Right, okay. I thought there was something coming in to replace one of those.
Black Knight Sword of Rage.
Okay.
Maybe. Because now Dan's like, I don't want it. I'm like, shut up, we're getting it.
You tell him.
And Steve Ritchie did all the voices in it again.
Oh,
he was
good.
Also the designer of the table, of course.
Yeah.
He did all the voices again, and I think that all the guitar in it was written by someone from Anthrax.
Why not?
So, but it's pretty good stuff.
Nice. All right. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
I built a lot of Labo VR stuff. So I got that on Friday, and I've been building it pretty much ever since. I have still two more toy cons to build. I've got the elephant and the wind flapper. I don't know what they call it, but it's a pedal thing with a... It's the one that they have the toad picture that they posted on the Nintendo Twitter account. And everyone's like, why are you stepping on Toad's penis over and over. I get it. He's supposed to be doing sit-ups, but it looked like you're just stomping on his penis. I'm not going to paint Toad on mine, so we're not going to have that problem. So I played lots of that. I actually did finish the Toy-Con Blaster earlier today and actually played some of that. And that's actually really cool. It's kind of your like an on-rail shooting gallery type thing. And so it's hard to see from there, but you actually pull it back and it clicks. And then you push a button and it's like it's almost like firing like a rubber band gun or something like that. But it's really cool. And it's a lot easier to hold than holding the headset by itself. So I did that. And then I've been playing Borderlands Remastered a bit. I had the hardest time getting it to run, and it still crashes every now and then. It's just some general protection fault thing. It could be because I'm modding my saves. I don't think so, but it might be that. It shouldn't cause the game to crash, though. I've never had that problem before, but, you know, I have to cheat. It's Borderlands. I've already played through the whole game once, so I don't care anymore. Or not even once, several times. But it's just fun to mess around with that stuff. But I'm like level 15 now. And yeah, so it's been okay. And then what else? Pokemon Go, I guess. A little bit of that. And a little bit of working on my game. And that's it.
Okay. My gaming week may surprise you. I am still playing Borderlands Remastered. I'm not having these problems you're having, but I'm also not fucking with my game. Like I'm.
But it was doing it before I fucked with my game, okay. So I think it's actually the game.
No, I've been playing it just, you know, the way it comes on the computer, and been playing that. I mean, I don't play the 4K. I play 2K, but it runs really well in the 2K mode. And I talked a little bit about this last week. I don't want to repeat too much, but I've still been playing. I think that's noteworthy because you guys know how often video games hold my attention for more than a week as new things come out. I'm up to level 17 now, which I think for me is pretty good. I guess that doesn't sound that high. I mean, what level? I heard like you beat the game around level 35, right?
I don't remember.
I don't know. So I don't know like how many levels you go through in the game, but I'm at level 17. I feel like I've done a lot.
I've only beaten the second boss in the, so far.
Is that okay? Is that when you go into the hideout and you're like in a big circular room and there's this big guy, scary? Because I think I just did that part.
Maybe I only did Ninetales. I thought I fought the second guy, but maybe not yet.
Okay, so I did this whole area. I think the last thing I remember doing, it was either that or it was the one where you have all these shock crystals and you blow up the shock crystals and pick up the little fragments they leave behind. And then he makes a shot. Maybe I only got this quest because I'm the soldier. I don't know. But he makes a thing that you put on your turret and now it does shock bullets from the turret. So that's like the last thing I did.
Oh, that's another side quest, I think.
But here's the thing that's maybe – okay, so like with Borderlands, I felt like the game was like kind of hard because you have limited ammo, right? Even though it kind of like seems to drop from everything, and I think that's kind of the trick. Like even though I kind of get annoyed at how everything respawns, I think there's a method to the madness because I think like if you're running low on ammo and for whatever reason you can't afford it, although I notice it's really cheap. So I think that's by design is that they make the ammo really cheap so that you can't really easily run out. But like also, even though some of the monsters level up, not all of them do. Like I noticed right outside that Firestone town, those little what are they called? The Skags? Skogs?
Whatever. Skags, yeah.
Skags. Those things that hang out, they never go up beyond level 2. So if you just kill those things, which is really easy, you can melee kill them when they're level 2 and you're like level 5. They'll drop ammo too. So you can kind of farm it that way. So there is a way to do it where you're not really running out of things, but it will take a little bit of
patience. Or selling guns.
You do that. You can do that too.
Yeah.
But where I'm really feeling progression now, and I know this is funny to some of you because this game is how old? It's like 10 years old at this point. And I'm like just discovering it for the first time where some of you have been playing it for forever, but maybe you can appreciate that now I'm discovering it. I just got in this last little thing that I did, I got somebody dropped a purple shield and it's like, it was like twice the shielding of the one I had. It went up from like 160 to like 300, okay? And it has very fast health regeneration. And I was like, yes, this is exactly what I needed because I kept dying because there's like no way
to regenerate. Are you using the shift keys as well? Because they have shift keys that they post online and you can redeem them on your
What, oh, like the shift key to run? Are you talking like a DLC thing?
Yeah, they're shift keys. So they're these keys that you can register on the Borderlands site under your VIP thing or whatever. And then you can unlock, there's a chest in Firestone you can unlock and you get loot from there. It's like rare loot.
Oh,
so
oh,
you, and they're, I've it's
seen, okay.
free.
Oh, that's how you open that.
Yeah, so you have okay. to get shift keys. So go online, just search. And I mean, I don't think they expire really. And just you can put as many of them in as you want and it unlocks five each time.
It's like
time.
Getting passcodes and ingress for gear.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Okay, wow, interesting. Okay. So, I will try that.
Yeah.
But okay, but if it's something, does it generate stuff at my level? Because maybe I want to hang on to those till I'm like
Yes.
Oh, so maybe there's, you don't want to just burn them all at level one. That might not be a good idea.
Yeah, you probably want to
use one, gain a few levels, use another, gain it. Okay. Okay. That's probably what I'll do then.
But like I got a shield out of that one time.
Yeah. But now that I have that purple shield, I feel like, okay, I can actually go in there and take, because like I'm supposed to, I think the soldier's the tanky guy, right? Or is it the, maybe there's another guy that's like really big and bulky. It's probably him.
No, soldier's not really the tank guy.
Oh, okay. I don't know. He has the turret. The turret thing sounded, I was like, oh, that's like Mass Effect with the drone. I'll like that guy. And I do, because I remember the first time I played Borderlands years ago, I played the girl who's like the siren.
Yeah.
And although that was a cool ability, like knowing my sense of what I need in first-person shooters and how I do better in those games, I went with the turret building guy because I'm like, ooh, I like turrets. I like that's like the type of character I like to play. That's why I like Symmetra in Overwatch. And
I always play as the hunter, Mordecai.
Is that now he probably uses snipers, huh?
His sniper rifles and revolvers and pistols are his specialties. Those are the ones that he levels up faster.
Okay,
in. Everybody can use everything, but it's
Because I was using the sniper rifle a lot. To like what I will do is like I'll use the when I'm a distance away, I'll use the sniper rifle to attack them, and then that kind of like aggros them. Then they come at me, and then I was using a pistol because I had a really good pistol. But I noticed I looked at the skill trees and I was like, oh, here's a shotgun ability. So let me sub out for a shotgun. So now I was using the sniper rifle to pull them in, and then I'd shotgun them down. Right, good strategy, yeah. Right? But I just recently replaced the sniper rifle with a rocket launcher. That's a much better way to get people's attention.
Yes.
Well, it's duh, given you have to be subtle with one and absolute opposite of subtle with the other.
And I'm not a subtle person. So, yeah, it's so weird to me that I'm talking about, like, Borderlands strategy. I never thought I would, like, get into this game. But Mass Effect, I didn't enjoy the first time, right? But now I'm kind of like into Borderlands. Some of the humor is a little bit toilet, but whatever. It's fine. I let it go. I'm just whatever. It's there is something really fucking satisfying about like when you get the car that you could just run over enemies and their blood splatters everywhere in high definition. I'm like, that is really satisfying. So yeah, I'm liking Borderlands, y'all. Now there's a reason to have this poster back here besides the fact that one of our listeners got it for us.
And I also
Loki always liked Borderlands.
I also play Zero all the time when I play in Borderlands 2.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to really finish this one and then try to play 2 and maybe make my way to Borderlands 3. I don't know. Anyway, looking at some comments in chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, Bobby Blackwolf points out, I also picked the soldier because of the turret. The Necromancer in Borderlands 2 also had a turret, I think. Yes, I would imagine that's having a little helper is kind of a standard class design thing. I think is usually one of the archetypes, if you will. Other games I've been playing this week. Final Fantasy 14. I'm back on that bullshit. I leveled my Astrologian's always kind of been my main, and that's been 70, the max level. My White Mage hit 70 in this past week, and my Scholar is now level 66. So by the end of next week, I should have every healer in Final Fantasy 14 at maximum level. Why? I don't know. It's fun. It's a thing. I'm working. It's just a thing. So there's that. And then, of course, Pokemon Go, like you guys, Community Day was yesterday. So we went down to Capitol Park, our usual stomping grounds for that. And what was it? It was Bacon. And it was Bagon. But
Bagon.
I said Bacon.
Which Bacon. I didn't get a single shiny.
You didn't?
No.
Well, I'll trade you one later then, maybe.
Well, I also
I forgot that it was at that time. I thought it was earlier in the day.
Oh, you know, they've been doing – it's kind of – well, it seems permanent, but they could change it whenever. But it seems like they figured out a way to roll it out in every time zone, and that probably has been helping with the server issues immensely too. But it's every time zone from 3 to 6 p.m., and I like the later hours for now, but, like, it's not – like, it'll work for maybe one more month. But when we get into June and July – 3 to 6 p.m. is like the hottest point of the day. No, thank you. It's going to be like 115 out. So I'll be playing at the Galleria again because I'll play at an indoor mall, but I'm not playing out at the park in that kind of heat. So I'm hoping they go back to the earlier hours. But yeah, for now, the 3 to 6 has been kind of interesting. But I caught 7 shiny bacons, which is pretty good because the first hour and a half, I only had 1. And then I just got like 3 more. And that was when Alan and I were like, okay, we're good. Because he also got like way more in the second half than the first half. And so we each had our 3 and we're like, okay, we're done. And so I switched to my Bluetooth, my gacha, and I was catching that way. And I caught like 3 more shinies from the gacha. So there you go. That was pretty good. Except none of them were very good appraisals. That's the only kind of bummer. So, and then one of my friends who plays like super casually and doesn't really care about shinies, but he does want to fill his Pokédex. He needed a Farfetch'd because he guess he wasn't playing when that event happened or whatever. He's never hatched one. He really wanted a Farfetch'd, and he gave me a shiny Cubone for it. I'm like, are you sure you want to give up a shiny? He's like, I don't care. I don't care about the shiny thing, but I want that Farfetch'd. I was like, okay. So woohoo, I got another shiny that I needed. So I got the Cubone. So, which is also good because that was the Ingress event shiny, and that's the Enlightened one was the Cubone. So
yeah, I finally got one of those.
I need one of those.
I do, even though I'm not a resistance person. The Ponitas that are the blue ones, those are really good. Like I have, they just look fucking cool. Like I have to have those. So, but I don't have one of those yet. So, anyway.
Oh, you don't? I think I have one.
The blue Ponitas?
I don't have one of those either.
Yeah, I had one of those because I got one of those first.
Oh, hang on to those because, yeah, unless you, but when you get 2, I'll trade you shiny. So I have like multiple shiny Swablus. I know that's one that like hasn't had a community day. I've just hatched a bunch and some turn out shiny. I wish I could part with my Togepi. I have 2 shiny Togepis. Well, one of them's a shiny Togekiss.
Togetic.
What's the last? There's a third one.
Are they really? Oh, crap.
In Gen 4, Togekiss, I think, is the last one or something like that. So that's the My only one of those is a shiny because since it was a hatch, it was also a wonder or highest level appraisal. So It made sense to do that one. So, yeah. Anyway, Pokemon. But Pokemon Go is
maybe,
still fun.
Maybe I transferred it to I transferred the Pokemon Let's Go.
You put a shiny in Let's Go?
Yeah, because I don't give a crap about this stuff.
All right.
Save me all the shinies ever.
All right. That's it.
Yeah, unless it's...
You need to get yourself a Bluetooth catcher. That's been great for shinies. Just you have to just remember to kind of sit there and clean up your Pokemon all the time. And it's only really works when walking. They really nerfed it when driving. But since I've been trying to walk more and do the fitness thing more, I've been using... Like, I'll go walk the giant park, not the park that's close to the house, but the giant park that's a little further from the house. I've been walking that pretty regularly. And, like, I'll use my Bluetooth to catch. I'll play Ingress, and I'm walking. And it's... Exercise.
Postmates is expensive.
Yes, yes, it is.
From Pita Kitchen, anyway.
All right. Anyway, that's it for my game of week. So I guess we can get into some housekeeping real quick. You can always follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. And, of course, if you aren't already following us on Twitch at VOG Network, VOG Network, I would really hope that you fix that. Thank you to everybody who helps us out on Twitch through all your hosts. Your bitty donations are appreciated as well. The bits and the subscriptions are really, really amazing. You guys have really shown up, and we're so happy you guys have been supporting us on Twitch for the past few months, ever since we switched to Twitch in December. And there's been a lot of exciting news on the Twitch front lately, right? We got some new emotes. So I know Bobby Blackwolf has this little wolf emote. And we're going to have one that represents OLR pretty soon. We've been talking about it behind the scenes. And I think we know what we're going to go with. But we'll have an OLR emote very soon. That's going to be a thing. And then I'm hearing something about at the TwitchCon Europe, I think, happened this weekend, right?
Yeah, I saw the thing.
They were talking about like highlight reels. Like something about the volume of your chat and the clips that are made will make this highlight reel at the end of your... So I'm really curious to see what the highlight reels end up being for the show. Because it sounds very play of the game in Overwatch. Like it kind of uses an algorithm to figure out like what the highlight is. So
Those always work well.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how those turn out. And there's other stuff too we'll talk about.
It's going to be a little later.
It's going to
be like me talking all of a sudden. Like, it's so much fun. It's like... God damn it. Fuck you, algorithm.
Oh, now I really want that to happen. All right, let's get into some gaming news for now. Start us off, Logie.
All right, so apparently Bungie has been blocking people from using a weapon that they accidentally sold to them in Destiny. So Destiny 2 had – there was some exclusive stuff that they had in PlayStation 4. There's this weapon that was the exotic trace rifle wave splitter that apparently this traveling alien salesman would sell you. And somehow that wave splitter was made available to players on Xbox and PC. And, of course, you know, they're aware of the issue and they're working on a fix. In the meantime, though, if you've acquired that weapon, you're not going to be able to use it. So even if you paid for it, sorry, that's money not well spent. And
they're not going to refund them?
I think that that's maybe what they're working on doing. They haven't said that they're going to do that yet, but most likely that's going to have to be the outcome unless it's going to become a non-exclusive weapon. So I don't know.
Here's my honest-to-God reaction to this story that I'm hearing. Like, I realized it was a mistake and so forth. First off, we know these exclusive sorts of things are really silly. Like, I understand why it happens in the industry. I get it. You know, people like Sony offer money. They offer – and Microsoft does it too. Nintendo kind of doesn't need to. Well, no. I take that back. Nintendo does it too with things like Starlink, the Ubisoft thing, right? That practically became a Star Fox game. So Nintendo does this too.
Speaking of which, they have that on sale.
Yeah, I heard.
It was down to like
bargain basement
30 bucks.
Prices, yeah. But I might need to pick that up. But anyway.
Version too.
I want to digress.
All right, sorry.
So Sony you know, spends this money on Destiny. I'm only picking on them because we're talking about Destiny. But my point is every company does this, okay? So this isn't like a Sony problem. This is an industry problem. So they pay money to get these exclusives. So either they're paying money or they're offering advertising, booth space, trade type of
things. MDF
promotion.
Is what they call it.
Oh, fancy. What's MDF stand for?
It's I think it's marketing development funds or something
okay,
like that.
Don't know. Less fancy. That's all right.
Yeah. MDF is what that's the
listen,
it's,
you
it's ad dollars. It's basically it's ad dollars. So what it is they say I'm going to give you $100,000 MDF, you know, and so what the company has to do is they have to show them how they're spending that on marketing. So they submit, okay, here's our print ad run that we're going to do, or here's our TV advertisement, you know, and all the money behind it.
All right. Thank you for the peek behind the curtain, yeah. But it's kind of, with all respect, it's not surprising. That's kind of what I figured was going on, right? So they're paying the money for the exclusives, whether we like it or not, even though we think it's like it's just kind of like ridiculous or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, why? You know, why can't Microsoft and PC, when it comes to Destiny, just have the same things? It's really, really ridiculous. I get it when it's IP things, okay? I get it. I get why Sony and Microsoft can't have Star Fox in their version of Starlink. I get it when it comes to IP. But that's why I thought one of the coolest things ever was back in the day – Soul Calibur 2,
yeah.
Right? And how, like, Nintendo got Link, Sony got Hihachi, Microsoft got Spawn, right? So that was kind of a weird one, but it was still – they got something special too. And that was kind of neat, right?
And they could have done, like, I don't know, Master Chief. No, there's not really any really
it
space shooting.
It was years ago. It doesn't matter. So they've put Master Chief in a million games. It's fine. Spawn's cool. So anyway – but it is really like, okay, the thing and the kind of the point I'm trying to get to with this is that, okay, so it was a mistake that they opened it up and sold these weapons.
Yeah.
But these are not like, it's not like these are Sony branded weapons, right? These aren't like God of War guns, right? They're not like, Horizon Zero Dawn bullets or things like that, right? These are just guns that are marked for PlayStation exclusives, right?
Yeah.
So here's my thing is that, like, A, this is a silly thing to have exclusive. They should just open it up already. But B, fine. The economy is what it is. Capitalism is what it is. Deals and wheels and all that are what they are. But if they open it up and they accidentally sold these things, I'm sorry, but you done fucked up. You need to let people keep them.
Okay.
And that's your fault. And honestly, in this society we live in, Loki – This is going to be a lawsuit in 6 months.
No, it's
– Lawsuit in 6 months.
But funny you mentioned 6 months, though, because this is what's going to – this is the fix, okay? So this is the fix.
Six days.
Because, see, while it's an exclusive weapon, like most things that are exclusive on multi-platform games, it's a timed exclusive weapon. So what's going to happen is you will have it in your inventory if you purchase it, but you can't use it until September of this year. So
– What? ...
So it's a timed exclusive. So
no, you fucked up. Just deal with it. Like you fucked up. Open it up. Just lucky fucking people that got that when they could. Like just deal with it. Like I feel like this just ends in lawsuit.
Well, by the time the lawsuit happens, it'll be out in the general public, and it won't fucking like, matter because you'll be able to use the gun.
So what happens if I like if I go to Target and I buy peppermint Hershey's Kisses or something, even though it's not Christmas, does Target come to my house and repossess those kisses? And then they're like, we're sorry, you don't get your money back, but come December, you can come back and get these and we'll give them to you. Like, that's not how it fucking works.
No, they hold it in your general inventory. So it's in your cabinet, but you can't touch it.
Oh, but they padlock my cabinet.
They padlock your cabinet until September.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. I'm telling you, lawsuit. That's just the
thank God that this isn't Fallout 76 and that gun has weight to it and stuck in your inventory for 6 months until you can, you know, actually use it and weighing it down.
Kaijudo in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, the problem is not the marketing. It was probably blocked because gamers were screaming, OP, it happens too much with games. That's the real problem. I don't know if that's what happened, but that's what I suspect. I get your reference, Kaijudo, but I think in this particular example, they are selling that gun on Sony's marketplace, and Sony players aren't screaming OP, are they? I don't, maybe they are.
Yeah.
Okay, but regardless, it's functioning on one platform. This is just about, oh, well, due to our agreement with Sony, even though we're the ones that fucked up and somehow opened that sale on other marketplaces, on PC and Xbox Live and all this, we're still going to lock it away from you because we have to honor our deal with Sony. And it's like, you just need to admit you fucked up, and there should be some type of clause in your contract with Sony where it's like, you know, we made a boo-boo, but in good faith, we pulled it from the store as soon as we realized there was an issue, and it's still going to be exclusive until such and such day. Like,
they're not going to do that.
God,
what's going to happen is everyone's going to forget about it next week, and then it'll just come available too.
No, we'll talk about it. I want a reminder.
It's not going to happen.
At the top of every OLR. Justice for Destiny.
You'll just
guns.
Forget all that happened, you know, because there's so much news that it's just going to be forgotten, and the next thing someone will be mad at. I can't even think about, like, what few weeks ago we were mad at.
Do I need to put
is
a...
Is everyone still mad that Metro Exodus is on the... Was it Epic Store? People still remember that, or...
No, because they're mad about Borderlands 3 now. Or whatever next Epic exclusive they get. Do we need a little, like, you know
the
how
Outland.
You know how at the beginning of every show here on Twitch we have our little parody intro? Maybe we need another slide that says,
hey,
# remember.
Things we're mad at.
Things we're mad at. Yeah, the list of things to remember we're mad at. Do we need, like, a wiki page? I bet Dr. C would be willing to make a wiki page. I just volunteered him.
Unlike the, was it, like, the Wall of Fame that, like, certain other podcasts have that they write their listener names on there, we'll write all the things we're mad at. So
the Wall of
forget.
Shame.
The List of Grievances.
List of Grievances. Yeah. The Orange Lounge List of Grievances.
We can move this poster and put, like, a big whiteboard here and have the Orange Lounge Radio List of Grievances. Do you want to do that? Because we'll fucking do it.
Of grievances over how expensive the scrap
right.
is.
Coming soon. Coming soon. The Orange Lounge Radio List of Grievances.
It's awesome.
No, it's needed. It's needed. I don't even play Destiny. I'm mad. All right.
$13 for cheese and bacon and egg burrito.
Delivery's expensive, yo.
But right. I'm hungry.
All right. Yeah, you're hungry. SS200 Matt says, the airing of the grievances. Yes. Bobby Blackwolf says, an on-notice board. No, we would not want to copy anybody else. This is a list of grievances. TM, patent pending, OLR.
It's the Orange Lounge log.
Yes. Orange Lounge
the OL
log.
Log.
The OL log. What rolls downstairs, hops over, and pairs with your neighbor's dog.
What's great for a snack and fits on your back? It's what's, OLR log.
What's great to complain and scream at the rain? It's OLR's log. All right. Anyway. I'm never doing that again. Let's move on with more stories.
Do we gotta? Because yes. I don't know. I'm stuck on that log thing.
No. Well, you don't have to. I can do the next story because the next one's supposed to be mine anyway. But it'll be fast. It's about an Apex Legends update, which I know you guys don't play. Or do you? Surprise me. You guys play Apex Legends?
Nope.
All right. I've played it a couple times. It's cool. I feel like it's one of those things like Borderlands that I won't really grow to appreciate it for 10 more years. But the times I've tried it, it's interesting. But you all should know, if you don't already know this, don't fuck up in Apex Legends. Meaning, like, I mean, you can be bad. Well, if you're bad, people might yell at
They're
you.
They're just going to ban you if you're bad.
But you know what? Here's the trick. If you're afraid of other people in Apex Legends, which I completely understand, turn off your audio incoming and outgoing. They can scream into the abyss and you'll never hear it. And you can still be an effective team member because Apex Legends has a really great pinging system. They have a great, like, you know, here, found a weapon. Ping. You can ping things. I'm sure people go, ping, 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 ping. Well, they've got to have a ping flood stop. I don't know. But anyway, my point is you can just turn the audio off and then nobody can ever scream at you. But anyway, but don't cheat. That's the one thing you can't do. And honestly, if you're cheating in these types of games that are meant to be multiplayer, online type, I mean, if you cheat in your own game, you know, if you hack your Borderlands 1 file, as long as you're not playing online with other people, especially going into randos.
It's co-op. Who cares?
Or if you're – okay, but if you're going in with people that know what they're getting into, that's one thing. But if you go into rando matches and do that shit, that's what's fucked up, right? You
don't, besides, I would share my modded weapons anyways.
You don't inflict that on other people that don't want their games to be messed up. So anyway, there's this whole thing going on, of course, the internet forums, the Reddits, all that places. PC players are finding out that if they've cheated, they're getting banned. And the usual types of ban evasions aren't working. Like they're trying to change their IP addresses. Nope. Use a secondary account. Nope. It does appear that Apex Legends is actually using some type of hardware ID ban. So, like, they know, like, your computer specs and all this, and so that is how – I don't know if it's, like, a MAC address reading or what they're doing, but they're doing a hardware ID ban.
They drink and they know things.
So there's a whole Reddit thread that
nothing's
goes on.
Perfect. They'll find a way around it.
We'll see. But it's really funny to read, like, there's this Reddit thread going on. There's, like, 19 edits on the thread with this guy on Twitch who's screaming, and he's like – he got banned for the second time in 10 minutes – and then he says, I didn't use my personal info anywhere. That's the frustrating part. I'm going to run every single fucking cleaner I have. And then he rebooted the PC. And then he says, all right, I guess I have to find a new game to cheat on until I get a working spoofer again. That's edit 5. And then it keeps going, I'll be back tomorrow. You better fucking believe it. It's just a sop in, da-da-da. And then edit 7. Apex can suck my dick. They can't keep me out. What people don't understand is that they're so fucking big they can't control everywhere. Seeing this guy get owned makes me so happy. Like, you're not wanted in this game. Bye. Don't let the door hit you. Makes me happy. I mean,
that
what
sounds
you...
very satisfying. I just want to go in the comments and just fuss at them or laugh. Just nothing but like as many characters as it would let me is ha.
Oh God, some of these edits are crazy. Dishonesty isn't toxic, but okay. I'm not toxic. All I do is kill people. Wow. Anyway. So anyway, I'm really glad to hear that they've found a way to like make at least ban them harder than they have been doing historically.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Who cares? Ban.
Well, yeah, because you know, again, it's one thing to cheat in a single-player game. It's one thing to cheat in co-op. If everybody knows what they're signing up for, then whatever, right? But it's another thing to go into these 1 versus 100 type of games, which is what Apex is, and flex your e-peen, which is fake. It's Viagra. It's fake. It's a fake peen because you're cheating to do it. And, you know, for what? To just, you know...
Yay, I won, except I can't win without cheating because I have no skills. Yeah, woo, look at how awesome I am. I don't understand what...
LOL.
How does that make you feel good that you beat people but you suck? I don't understand how that works.
Or it's LOL, I ruined all these people's day. They're probably sitting there crying. Who's crying now? Who's crying now?
I need some tea to sip
you
right
is.
Now.
You are. Oh.
Yep.
Fuck cheaters. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, finally, you can change your PSN ID. It actually is live now for North America, Europe, and Australia for anyone on the PS4. Some games may have issues after you change your ID, but you need to make sure that some of the games, you know, if they're big games that you have a worry about, you need to make sure that they're going to be fine with the name change. A lot of the big ones, like Fortnite, Destiny 2... those are fine. So basically it, you know, a lot of people have asked for it. People will put like, I'm trying to think of like a really crappy username, like
Rob Roberts.
No.
Oh, you mean like a shitty toilet person type of name?
Like Leet Hacksaw 101.
Okay.
And then decide, oh no, I actually want to be like just cool guy. Number two.
Reformed Troll 101.
Oh, yeah, like, or, you know, have someone's ex go in and change your name to Angry Krusty Bridge Troll. You know, something like that. I'm sure someone actually is that.
But oh, perfect. XX Sephiroth 420 XX. Perfect. Perfect example. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the first time that you change it, it is free, but it will cost you afterwards. $10 or £8 if you just have a regular account. If you're plus, then it's £5 or £4. $5 or £4. So you can change it as much as you want. You can always revert back to any previous version of your ID for free if you contact PlayStation support. No one can take your old IDs. So you can choose to display your old ID next to your new one for up to 30 days so that your friends will know it was you. Doesn't do good if you were trying to hide who you were. Child accounts cannot change their ID. So, you know, if you have, you know, mommy's little gamer girl, 23, because it's her 23rd, you know, gamer girl child, she can't go, God damn, this name sucks, mom. I want it to be Blood Rage Woman, you know, or something like that. She can't do it. So I would have Blood Rage Woman, though, just saying.
Of course you would.
I would just have.
Here's the thing, though, on PlayStation, like, I don't like the gamer tags or the usernames, whatever they call them. I don't like, because I can never remember who's who. Some of them are obvious. Like, when I see Bobby Blackwolf, like, I know who that fucking is, right? And usually, like, if your name kind of matches, Misty OLR, I know who that is because that's her name every single place, which bless you for having OLR in your name in the first place. But, you know, there's some people where it's like they're one name here, they're one name on PlayStation, they're one name in Twitch chat, they're one name over here, which, you know, it's your life. You are welcome to as many identities as you want, but I can't keep them all together. So I love Facebook's name implementation where you can trade.
I don't.
And so that way, oh, because you don't use a fake name on Facebook like I do. So I don't care who knows it.
Well, no.
I thought that was a reason.
I don't really want to say this live, but I know plenty of people who Facebook's name policy is highly detrimental to their safety.
Oh, we've talked about this on the show before. Sure. Especially in the trans community.
But that's why I don't like to have a single name like that.
Uh-huh.
I would rather people be able to have a handle.
Well, okay, but to be fair, like, here's the thing. When it comes to, like, your Facebook name, you and the friend have to agree to show each other the name. So, like, randos don't see it. So, like, and usually I'm the one to do it because I'm using a fake name on Facebook anyway. I will go reach out. I'm like, who is this? And I'll just go do a close friend request and see if they accept it. And most of the times they do. And then I'm like, oh, it's this person. And then I see their Facebook picture. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's that person. Now I know who it is because I had no clue who XXX Sephiroth 42069 weedking.com XXX is. Like, I had no idea who that was, and now...
That guy sounds so awesome, though.
Well, the problem was he probably picked that name when he was 13. He couldn't change it till yesterday. So...
It's like, you know, perhaps the two triple X's, it's a bit much. I sure really only done one triple X.
But if you triple X, then does that mean, like, extra fun times?
Yes.
It doesn't sound fun to me.
Interesting. I'm getting some comments in chat. I'm reading, like, Bobby's story because, you know, he has, I think on one of the services, he has a name that a lot of people really want because it's a very, like, common more thing. And, like, he's been offered money to get off that name so that other people could use that. You know, on Twitter, y'all know I changed my Twitter account like 6 months ago. So I'm now Mr. Rob Roberts on Twitter because I just don't use the online name Sky as much anymore, which I realize is in the intro to our show, but at some point we'll get our intro updated. But when I had, because I've had my Twitter account for 12 years, and I know that because I got one of the memory things the other day. So when I first went on Twitter, I got on Twitter really early, and my username was @SKIE. I had a four-letter name, pretty, you know, hard to get, right? And I would have people tweet me, like, can I have your name? No,
even though
this is apparently, like, especially in some other cultures overseas, that's like people's, like, legit first name is SKIE and stuff. But it's like, no, I picked it first. Sorry. You know, this is my identity online. You know, this is my name, too. And in a sense, I can't. So what I did when I went onto Mr. Rob Roberts,
I tried to grab Skyback as fast as I could because my plan was I would let that name go when I could get at Rob Roberts, which a spammer is sitting on right now. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get it back because Twitter won't let you get an account name under 5 or 6 letters anymore. So nobody can have that name anyway. So anyway.
You were the last.
I was the first and the last.
I get people asking me for Dark Sakura. And I'm like, wow. Fuck you, no.
No, it's my name.
But we have OLR.
We do. We do have OLR on Twitter. And that's a 3. And why would I let that go? Yeah. So even if the show were to end someday, it would still be an archive of all the episodes of this show that ever had existed.
It's going to be it's going to be inherited by, like, Julian and all the cool kids.
Honestly, that's where this is headed, is that there'll probably be a Gen 2 of OLR at some point. So, and I'm
Make
okay
so.
With that. Yeah, why not?
I'm going to be doing this when I'm 90. I'm going to be like just like Iris Apfel with my big, huge-ass glasses and just be like, fuck you, games suck.
Well, it's like we've got this record now. Like, we've been doing this video game podcast thing longer than anybody else. Consistently, like weekly, you know, some people are really close and I'm sure would love to see us hang up our hats, but it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, in a friendly competitive way, nobody's really like cutthroat. It's one of those things where it's like, it's such a habit. How can we ever stop? What would I do on my Sunday nights? Watch Game of Thrones.
Not for much longer.
I can't even do that much longer.
Yeah, they'll watch the Game of Thrones prequel that they'll do.
I know. You know, now the thing I see, like, all now is, like, the memes. It's all the Game of Thrones fans.
There's tons of memes on here, and right, already.
Well, no, but they put these memes out there that say, nobody cares that you don't watch Game of Thrones, asshole. Let us have our moment. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, though. Like, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I don't, like, I'm not shitting on people who do.
But to steal a meme from a friend of mine,
yeah,
or a friend of ours, I guess I should say,
uh-huh.
But... Everyone who's going out going, well, I don't watch it. I don't watch it. I don't, like, good for you. Literally, no one cares.
Uh-huh.
But it's a Cersei quote.
Uh-huh.
Every breath you draw in my presence annoys me.
but why can't I say I don't watch it? Like, it's not like,
it's one thing to say I don't watch it. It's another thing. You'd be like, oh, I don't watch it. You know.
Yeah.
But other people who make a big fucking deal
when
out of not watching it.
Here's the thing. It's
that
when
doesn't
it's,
make you cool.
It's when it implied I don't watch it, and people who do are stupid. That's, and I get that. Be mad at that, because let people enjoy things. Just let people enjoy things, and I'm all about that. But like, when people, like, expect me to know Game of Thrones,
God,
I'm not
so
a real
annoys
nerd.
Me when people like things.
When people expect me to know Game of Thrones or I'm not a real nerd, I'm like, okay, real nerd, you want to talk about why I haven't been watching Game of Thrones? Because I do this other thing online Sunday nights with literally half of my fucking life. So, you want to talk?
I'll just be like this.
You want to talk about nerd? We'll talk nerd.
I'll do this. Have you read the books?
There's that too. Have you read?
I'll
the
do
book?
This. Did you see the 4-hour version of Dune?
But
what was your first movie? Mine was fucking Star Wars, and I was 9 months fucking old.
For the record, if you're watching the Game of Thrones and you're having a good time, hats off. Enjoy it. Live it up. Embrace your nerd passion. Love it. And I hope everybody dies, because that's what seems to happen every week on that show, and people lose their shit. So they like it, right?
I only literally care about one character that I don't want to die.
All right, anyway.
Well, actually, three characters.
Akuma JP in chat says, Game of Thrones, too much sex for me. There is, mm-hmm. I think that's why, I think, Akuma, I know you're from another part of the world, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret about, like, America. I think that's why nerds like it. Just an inkling.
I honestly just wait and fast forward past all the shit I don't want to see. Because I'm not into it. I'm ace.
I don't like the gory stuff.
It doesn't add to anything watching this. Like, okay, good, they fucked, whatever.
Yeah. You would just rather see the black screen that says, and then they fucked.
But
and
boat then... sex.
Boat sex?
Well.
That's a thing in Game of Thrones?
I
you watch
it.
This, don't you?
I watch Game of Thrones. Of course I do.
I
shipped it.
On demand, dude. I mean, geez. Like, watch it later.
Okay, but
I shipped it on the ship.
Okay, here's the thing. Yes, that's the number one thing I get told by all the Game of Thrones fans. Oh, you did something, watch it on demand. I got two reasons for you. Number one, have you seen my on-demand queue lately? Did you miss the memo that, like, fucking everything went to on-demand some time ago? Like, respectfully, there's just a ton of shit to watch on-demand.
This is why I'd watch jack shit, so that when something really awesome is out, I can watch it.
Number two, because there's so many of you that enjoy it, and that's cool too, you all have spoiled it by the next day. Like, I literally saw a tweet earlier that said, if you don't want Game of Thrones spoiled for you, then stay off Twitter at night.
That's what I'm doing.
This is the exact same person who says...
I'm looking for spoilers right now.
This don't obviously, we all know not to say them on air. If you want to seek them out, that's one thing.
Well, I'm doing it. I'm looking for them.
Go for it. But what was I going to say? This is the exact same person who then says, if you brag about how you don't watch Game of Thrones, you're an asshole. And I'm kind of like, you can't have it both ways, sis. How are the rest of us supposed to watch Game of Thrones when you're sitting here going, but I'm going to spoil it as soon as it airs, and it's your... You can't have it both ways. Anyway, sorry. It is a video game show. I don't know why
we got
to real.
Well, I also didn't really care for Chair of Swords because I tried reading the first book, and the first book... Actually, I literally hated everybody. I hated everybody for, like, the first three seasons.
Ooh, you're edgy because you don't like Game of Thrones.
But then I discovered characters I liked. And then saw the ones I hated die. Or about to die.
So it's like Mass Effect, kind of.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
All right, moving on. Let's get back to games.
Kill the people I hate, I'm happy.
So I don't know how we went from PS4 name changes to Game of Thrones podcast.
I am still waiting for my fucking $20 burrito.
Let's move on.
Let's talk about a world where the Vita is still getting games.
Wow.
Physical games. So, was it Nicelis? I think that's how you pronounce it. They're publishing a couple physical copies or physical versions of 1001 Spikes and VVVVV.
I love this box art for VVVV. I wish I'd had the forethought to make a video thing I could put on Twitch. I love the VVVV cover because that looks like an old Commodore 64 cartridge.
Yeah.
It looks like, if you guys have seen, like, old Commodore 64 cartridges, with, like, it's like the same font and design and everything. It's gorgeous.
Yes. So, I mean, it's awesome. I don't have a Vita anymore, so, but, yeah, I love the box art. I know that came out for other systems. I'm surprised they're not publishing on other systems, too. 1001 Spikes, to be clear, though, is actually a PlayStation 4 version, so Vita is getting VVVV. But yeah, it's pretty awesome to see those physical versions. And this, I don't believe this is actually by Limited Run either. So this is actually being published by Nicelis. So coming soon. Apparently, they did leak out early too that promo copies that they had been floating to, like, Sony employees had somehow made it to eBay.
It's still a collectible of sorts, really, yes, at this point. So that's pretty cool. Over in chat, Renji221 asked, "What's a Vita?" Well, pull up a chair, Sony, and let me tell you a story. One day, Sony thought they'd compete with Nintendo in the handheld space.
So that's almost worth being $20 or $13.
Don't interrupt Grandpa's story with your
burrito.
You know what?
It's a burrito and
it's
delicious.
No one cares because they're not eating it.
Discreto burrito.
Yeah, you need to be a little more discreto with that burrito. All right. Other comments in chat. Let's see. Akuma JP in chat says, I'm playing Stardew for the first time on iOS, so bye-bye free time. Yeah, that happens. It's interesting how we discover big games after the fact, and sometimes it's because it's on a platform, you know, the right platform that we want to play it on.
Who knows what big games I have in my Steam library that I've never played? I know there's hundreds of them, so...
I thought there was something you could use to, like, look at the, like...
It's coming.
Look at your library and see what you haven't played.
It's coming soon. That's an update to the Steam store.
Oh, boy.
Library they're
doing. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was a thing that came up recently. All right, anyway. All right, moving on. Let's talk about our next story, which has to do with a leaked little information, little sheet of information about the disc-free Xbox One. A site called Win Future got images that show off the... And take it with a grain of salt because people are weird and do Photoshops and all this stuff. But, I mean, we have heard so much buzz around this. Like, nothing is shocking with this. I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't one of those. We know that Microsoft has been headed this way.
Right.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. But anyway, but some of the specifics, somebody could be fucking with us. But they're probably not, to be fair. So anyway, the design is what looks like an Xbox One S, but there's just no drive on it. How about that?
Couldn't they have made it much smaller, though, without the drive in there? Because you'd think that the drive takes up quite a bit of space.
Yeah, you'd think. I don't know why they decided to still keep it the same
size. That that's legit, because that totally looks like someone just photoshopped out the actual drive image.
So maybe that's... Yeah, that maybe it isn't legit.
Well, whatever, dude. Like, we're like a month away from it apparently being released.
Well, it's supposed to have a 1 terabyte hard drive, and the Europe version, because I think that's the version that actually leaked out, the Europe version will have Forza Horizon 3. It should be noted that 4 is the current one, so it's an older one. But Forza Horizon 3, Minecraft, and Sea of Thieves will already be installed. So you have something like
Why 3, though?
Well, it's still a good game if you're new to the Microsoft universe. Because they want you to play and enjoy 3 and then, click this button to purchase 4 now. Or buy Xbox Game Pass for only XYZ a month or
that should just
Z,
been
ABC a year.
Just withhold the games. Like, withhold actually purchasing, or including, like, additional games. Like, cut that game out. Like, how much is that game worth? I mean, like, $20 maybe?
Well,
30 bucks?
I feel like the price they're charging for it, which, by the way, is speculated to be 230 euros or $260 is what that translates to.
So, like, just cut the cost out of there and just, like,
saying is that I think these are kind of freebies. I don't think Microsoft is inflating the price. I think they're throwing in these freebies to make that price a little more, like, lucrative.
They should do Game Pass instead of one of the games.
I would support that, actually.
Because, Minecraft is one of the games that's supposed to be in there as well, eventually. So why not just do Game Pass so you get the Forza game and the other one? And see if these – I think all those are Game Pass games, actually. So just Game Pass, no game. I don't know.
All right. Well, anyhow, that is apparently what's going to happen. They're saying April 16th is the unveiling, which would be like Tuesday. Isn't there like an inside Xbox plan pretty soon?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. But April 16th about is supposed to be the day that this shows up. And they're saying May 7th will be the release. So this is all supposed to be kind of wrapped up by E3. So this isn't something they're planning to unveil at E3, I guess. So
yeah, we'll have to see.
Interesting. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, actually, they do have, it says, an all-new episode of Inside Xbox on Tuesday, April 16th at 2 p.m. Or 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, there you go. That date matches up with what we're hearing here.
Latest news on E3, including Xbox Fan Fest and more. So
there you go. So
possibly then.
That will probably be the day we get the specifics, if anything. So tune in if that's your thing, I guess.
Yeah,
cool. I also want to point out in our chat, Renji221 in chat says, honestly, I think Horizon 3 is better than 4, but that's just me. That's an interesting kind of perspective, is that maybe 3 is the better. 3 did have the Hot Wheels thing. Does this have all the expansions? Because maybe that – is it Forza Horizon 3 with the expansions? Because that would be pretty rad, because that Hot Wheels was pretty cool. And maybe some folks think 3 is the better representative.
Who knows?
All right. Anyhow, let's move on with Dark Sakura.
Well, for fans of the Star Wars prequel, looks like something kind of good is coming out of it, because the rest of it was kind of shit. But
hey, the pod race was cool.
Well, there is a game coming out called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order that's a third-person action-adventure game coming out by Respawn. It'll be on Xbox 4, Xbox One, and PC on Origin, because EA is publishing it. It's going to be $59.99 standard, $69.99 deluxe. But it also has like a director's cut that shows like behind the scenes stuff and content and, some cosmetic stuff. But I just like the story. Like, that's actually what has me interested, is that you play someone who escaped the Order 66 to kill all the Jedi.
It's like, what's funny is about like all these games that are based in the prequel era, or like literally everything that's come out of Star Wars that's in the prequel era is better than the actual prequels.
Exactly. But I don't know. I always thought I used to be in a tabletop game where we played, remnants of the Jedi Order, and it was a fun thing. So just to see like my old tabletop game kind of coming to life just was really, really kind of cool. So it's a shame you can't like actually customize your character, do whatever, but whatever. I'm going to mispronounce this name, Cameron Monahan from Gotham.
Moynihan, I think, but close. Yeah. Get close.
But anyway, cool. Anyway, I thought I'd make a mention. It has droids. It has lightsabers.
Yeah, honestly, you know what has me more excited, honestly, than anything else about this? The fact that Respawn's making it. And Respawn is like a studio to watch right now because Titanfall, you know, was pretty, especially
Apex Legends.
It's Titanfall 2, a lot of people slept on. And of course, Apex Legends is like the hot shit in gaming right now. So the fact that they're the folks that are making the Star Wars game, which many people have also been going, what the fuck is EA doing with the Star Wars?
Titanfall 2 had a pretty great single-player campaign, so I hear. Haven't played it yet. Own it, but still haven't played it yet.
Chalk that up to your inventory. But that would be your Origin backlog as well as your Steam backlog.
That's my PlayStation backlog, actually.
And on top of this, the trailer looks really freaking good. I mean, it's pretty beautiful. So we'll see what happens.
Here's our chance to talk about, I know it's a gaming podcast, but why not? We already had one tangent tonight. I'm sure a lot of nerds watching the Star Wars celebration have some thoughts and feelings. Like, I have to admit, I've been a really bad Star Wars fan. I still haven't seen episode 8. That's like on my to-do list. I need to see it. But I did watch the episode 9 trailer, and I got verklempt when I saw Carrie Fisher. That was the number one thing I noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Rey jumping over the pod thing, that was badass too, but like
TIE Fighter. It's called the TIE Fighter.
Okay, yeah, whatever. The thingy, the space plane.
TIE Fighter. It's like
when she jumped over the space plane, I was like, and it looked like I saw a great side by side comparison on Twitter, that Hitchcock movie North by Northwest, mm-hmm. when the plane comes in. There's a great side by side. Like that scene looks like that.
I loved when he did a backflip with his lightsaber over
shut the fuck up.
No. But the thing is that the movies actually do take from like some of the cinematic greats, like the whole Rashomon storytelling when it came to Luke's flashbacks. Oh wait, okay, you need to see that one because it has the Rashomon style flashbacks.
Okay,
where basically you see the same scene from different perspectives.
God, who does that a lot in their movies? God, that's like a Tarantino thing, actually. Isn't it? Like, Pulp Fiction was kind of that.
No, but this is like exactly the same moment. From different perspectives. So you'll have to see it, but basically the entirety, I believe it was Rashomon that was told that way. It's Kurosawa.
Who's that famous director? I think his first movie was Phantom of the Paradise. That's how all the cult movie people know him. De Palma does that. Like he does the split screen thing.
Not the same.
Oh, not the same. Okay.
It's basically, it's interjected at different points. Now, I think all of Rashomon was told this way, where you have everybody at the same event, but different, their own perspective on it. But this comes in at key points in the movie as it pushes the narrative as you get more story and perspective on it. But it's still exactly the same scene. So, but yeah, there's lots of wonderful, wonderful, just different cinematic quotes, I like to call them. You know, in art, when you see someone refer to the same art style as someone else or something from another painting, it's called a quote. These are definitely quotes back to, you know, other theatrical greats.
Can I do a really random thing? Because you talked about art. Can I do a really random thing? Because this is something like I should have done like 6 months ago on Twitch. This is going to be a Twitch thing, okay? And I apologize to the podcast listeners for this, but this is very important. Can you help me fill time here while I go grab something?
Sure. I'm just making sure that it is the story that I'm thinking of, that it is Rashomon. That's the short story. I'm looking for the movie. But yeah, the movie Rashomon. Yeah, that's the one I think is the one where they tell it a different levels of the story. And it's another one with Mifune in it. So
since you brought up art, I've never been able to show this, and I'm so happy I can now. This is an example. This is one of my mom's paintings. And so we have a whole collection of paintings. No, this is a good. This is fine. This is fine. There's a whole collection of paintings that she made before she passed, you know, because she was a painter like her whole life. So I've never been able to show these on the show before. And I just thought I would now that we're on Twitch. So what's that?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I just thought I would show that. And I love this painting, too, because it's cats. And so she made this with me in mind, just so we're clear.
I like the penguin one.
Yes, there's a penguin that's hung up in the hall, though, so I can't exactly take that one down.
And for those who don't know, by the way, what Rashomon is, there is what the poster looks like. So anyway, but yeah, I've that's been the big kind of nerdy thing for me enjoying the movies, though, is that there really are some wonderful callbacks to just really beautiful movies and just the storytelling. I'm super happy with it. But just like, you know, you were mentioning the one throwback for North by Northwest, which I do believe that the titles for North by Northwest were done by Saul Bass. Let me double check. Which, as everyone knows, he's one of my heroes. Yeah, I think it was Saul Bass. Yep, it was Saul Bass, who also did The Man with the Golden Arm and The Man with the Silver Arm, sorry, and Vertigo. And he directed the shower scene in Psycho. And actually, when it came out that he did, Hitchcock said he would never talk to him again.
Mm.
Anyway.
Before we move on to the next gaming story, anything Star Wars related that anyone wants to get out about everything around this celebration?
I'm looking forward to the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Very much
because
so.
Because the last two movies are kind of... But the new movie looks awesome.
The last two movies were great. And
wait, when we say last two movies, do we mean spinoffs or do we mean 7 and 8?
7 and 8.
Oh, okay.
Because there were no prequels.
They were basically remakes of the first two original.
All right. People have their different opinions, so we'll see. I still haven't seen 8, but I liked 7. I did definitely see the parallels to the original in 7, but I still really liked 7 for what it was, for what it's worth. I will say the thing that definitely has my attention that's kind of tangential to Star Wars, this whole Disney Plus and their competitor to Netflix, like it seems like Disney is like ready to come out the gate with this Disney Plus thing. It's pretty loaded with stuff, I gotta say. I'm not looking forward to having yet another subscription, but I have a weird feeling that the marketplace is going to force some of these things to consolidate before too long. Just like Spotify and Hulu have kind of joined forces here. I think you're going to start to see more of that stuff show up.
I'm looking forward to the Hawkeye series.
Oh, yeah, because that's a Disney thing, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's Marvel, but it's going to be taking... this is said that like one of my favorite comic characters, who was like the girl who took over as Hawkeye while he was dead in the comics,
mm-hmm.
Kate Bishop, she's supposed to be in it too, so that'll be really awesome.
All right. Well, meanwhile, we'll also look forward to whatever Lucasfilm's Games is working on. Because remember, that was a story a couple weeks ago that Lucasfilm's Games apparently making a comeback. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on. We have a couple more stories before we get to our classic segment of the week. Or is it month this week? Loki.
Yeah. So there's a rumor that the next Assassin's Creed game has been teased in The Division 2. Apparently, there's a poster that can be found inside the Potomac Events Center. And one of those shows the title Valhalla, which, of course, features kind of a Viking character in there. They are saying that the Viking appears to be grasping the Apple of Eden, which they say is the main plot device. And that apparently the following Assassin's Creed Odyssey, the next game is going to be set in the Viking Age. I think it's just kind of a guess, but maybe. I mean, it seems plausible. Since they were kind of...
Oh, you're using my word.
since you know, they kind of threw in, I think, some like Greek mythology stuff with the last one, so yeah. Why not?
It fits the Assassin's Creed kind of MO, and Vikings is not something they've explored yet, right? We haven't had a game in that. So it fits the mold, let's say, and would I think is something people would be interested in. I know that even though I'm not super into the Assassin's Creed games, I know that what I want to happen, if this is the direction for Assassin's Creed, is that if my character gets defeated in Assassin's Creed, I want to have a Viking funeral. I think that would be fantastic. So I hope that, as long as a Viking funeral, which, you know, of course, is when they put you on a boat, set you out to sea, and then light the boat on fire with shooting all the arrows at it, that is what I hope to see reflected in this game.
Okay.
What, you don't want to see a Viking funeral?
No.
I know someone who did that for their cat.
That's kind of... I don't know. It's some weird. It's a little. I guess if that's what helped them through.
Well, their cat was also a Norwegian forest cat.
Okay. So there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. All right.
I just like setting cats on fire.
No,
so
I know.
No, their
like,
cat was dead.
Their cat was already deceased. So.
I didn't say the cat wasn't alive.
Right. One more completely different topic here. Before we get to the classic game segment, actually, I think it would be appropriate to talk about this service. This was something that was brought to my attention completely on our Discord. I had no idea that this was a thing that was going on, but then Dark Tetsuya, I think, or you know, the topic came up in our Discord server, which if you're not on our Discord server, you should think about joining it. VogNetwork.com/Discord is the only URL you need to get an invite right on into the server. And I would certainly encourage you to join that because that's how you can call into the show later as well. But anyway, the story was posted in the Orange Lounge Radio channel is that we've been talking about this just as recently as like last week, like whatever happened to services like GameTap and the classic games.
Yeah.
And why isn't somebody taking the advantage to do a streaming service for classic games? Well, how about this? It's apparently one has been being developed for a little while and they just went on a Kickstarter this week. So, but in usually I wouldn't talk about Kickstarter things, but in kind of reading the website, in reading their pitch on Kickstarter, I kind of got the impression of we're doing this whether this Kickstarter succeeds or not. This Kickstarter just seems to be a way to offer these kind of earlier perks and maybe get the word out, which I guess, you know, successful, because here we are talking about it on our show when I guess this has been a thing that's been in development for a while and I had like no idea. So the service is called AntStream. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, but I think the logo is really cute because it looks like a little ant or whatever. They are saying that AntStream will have a beta launch on mobile devices, so iOS and Android, PC, and Xbox One. And the early backers are set to get in early May, which I guess is probably when this Kickstarter is about to finish up, because I think the Kickstarter's got about 25 days left on it. So when it goes into beta, you are going to be able to play curated titles from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They are mentioning titles like Akari Warriors, Joe and Mac, California Games, Zool, and Double Dragon. It was pointed out that a couple weeks ago, one of the parody intros we had here at OLR, we had the Epyx Game Store, the EPYX Game Store, because it was a play on me always talking about EPIC apostrophe S, when really the store is called the Epic Game Store. And so you're not supposed to call it Epyx Game Store because it sounds like the old company from the 80s. But ironically, that Epyx, the EPYX, looks to be a company that is partnered on this service, because you go look at the games list, which they're showing off, what, 400 games, right? And Epyx's games are all over this list. And it's very similar to the type of stuff you'd see like on the Mini, Commodore 64, and some of these other places right now. But it's not just limited to that, right? It looks like they've got, you know what, Akari Warriors would be, like Data East appears to be on this. A lot of these, like,
SNK, Codemasters.
A lot of these retro-friendly companies you've seen in other places too, but with their really old stuff. So, I mean, certainly there's that question that's going to be asked, well, why not just use emulators, right? Well, and I even called this out as one reason I liked to play on GameTap was they had the additional features like the replays, like the high scores, so I could compete with my friends. And so that's why, like, this caught my eye. AntStream will be having unique multiplayer challenges. So it will put twists on some of the games, like score attacks, speed runs, and boss rushes. So there's a whole spiel you can check out over on their Kickstarter, which if you just search for AntStream or go to antstream.com. I really want to invite them on the show. I'll probably do that in the coming weeks here, since they got a Kickstarter going on anyway, because I just, like, it's funny because I feel like I said this out loud like 1 or 2 weeks ago. Not obviously I didn't invent this. This has been in works for years, but I think it's just funny that, like, this is relevant. Like, I was asking for something like this, and here it is. And I got to say, it looks pretty cool. I mean, I think, like, the early fee, like, if you get in early, you can, like, have your rate frozen at, like, $60 a year was, like, a rate you can get frozen at. I think they said they were going to ask for $10 a month for it. I'm worried that might be a little high for some people for retro games, but, I mean, if they're talking, like, a library of 4,000 games – it might be kind of worth it, especially if these multiplayer challenges are really good. Like, I really want to see the implementation of this. Unfortunately, that's the one thing the Kickstarter's not really showing is, but I, you know.
And they're about 2/3 of the way to their goal already.
Yeah, they're probably going to make their goal, honestly. So I'm curious. I got to say, you know, I'm a sucker for retro games. I love that, like, as a retro game enthusiast and somebody who would, like, stream them a lot, like, because I like to stream games, like, this would open up a whole new, like, zillions of games to stream. So I do want to see something like this succeed. I hope it is really going to be worth that price, that I'm going to be really surprised there. But I'll probably sign on to the Kickstarter. We'll see. So it looks pretty neat. So
yeah, it says our fixed price for AntStream, that's if you pledge €55, is $70 a year.
For it, yeah, there's weird, because they're based in the UK, so you have to, there's some money conversion things going on. It's something like if you put down like $120, you get 2 years, because that's actually the rate.
Yeah, 2 years and $60.
And then you get $60 frozen beyond that, I think. So it's kind of interesting. So I'm curious. Their early backer is already gone, because I was looking at doing that and I got lazy and didn't do it, and of course it's already gone. So I mean, that's good for them though. So we'll see. Like I said, I really want to try and invite them on the show at a later date because I hope maybe they'll go so far as to be like a virtual museum. Wouldn't it be really cool if like not only do they have the games, but maybe they have interviews with some of these game makers talking about the games? Like think about like commentary tracks or something, because let's be real, the people who made these games in the 80s and 90s, they're getting older. Some of them are no longer with us. And, you know, as people get older, that's going to continue to be the case.
They can't have an interface where I can put arcade cabinets and arrange them in a certain way. And
oh, you tongue-in-cheek reference to Game Room?
Yeah.
I'd love that, but I'll take what I can get. I kind of think that's all secondary. So, yeah. Some folks in chat, SHO and Hunter Matt, saying, like what Game Room could have been. Yeah. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, I'm definitely getting a GameTap vibe from the service. I'm very interested to see how they do. That's what I thought of when I saw some of those games on the list. I think that was a reference to when we had the Epic Store tongue-in-cheek joke. Who knew that that may actually become a reality of sorts after this? So Metal Mayhem says, yeah, I missed out on the GameTap era. But I know you were there for Microsoft's Game Room era, because Kaijudo is asking, what's Game Room? It was a Microsoft thing that they kind of tried to do with the classic gaming. But I feel like they pulled the plug on it before it had time to really grow.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate. So anyway. All right, let's move on. Speaking of classic stuff. Every week here on the show, we like to step into the gaming vault and find a classic game that, hey, you guys should be checking this game out and show it a little bit of love this week. But in the 2019 twist, we like to do things a little differently. So once a month, Dark Sakura picks out a classic soundtrack. So the classic soundtrack of the month is what we're going to be discussing this week. And you said the theme for 2019 is going to be all NES 8-bit. Or 8-bit games, right? All right. Yeah. So what 8-bit game did you pick this week?
I picked Jackal, which I've covered before for Classic Game. But my focus is, of course, the soundtrack, this music.
And I should point out that the video is not synced with the audio. We did replace, so that yeah. I stripped the game noise.
Although it was actually pretty close.
Yeah, it is pretty close.
But this is like some of my favorite 8-bit gaming music ever. It was just that era of delicious Konami music. You know, but this was even better than some of the other stuff that was out at the time. But
did we ever get a remix of this in like Beatmania or anything? It's really
it seems like
a missed opportunity.
So.
Bummer.
But anyway, it was the sound designer for this was Atsushi Fujio. He worked on many Konami titles in the late 80s. He's actually, I think, still doing music to this day. But as far as other games that he worked on, I'm trying to pick, like, I brought this game up before, YY World, for Super Famicom. He did Gyrus for the Famicom Disk System, Blades of Steel. Gyrus for NES itself. Twin B3, Poco Poco Daimao.
I love the Gyrus soundtrack, even though it really just is, like, classic songs.
Yume Penguin Monogatari. Konami Hyper Soccer. I'm trying to think of Bucky O'Hare, Contra 3, The Alien Wars. He was a sound programmer. He did sound programming for Axelay. He did the same for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament, Turtle Tournament Fighters. Sorry, words are weird today. But he also did the music for Double Dribble. And he was a consultant on Snatcher, Rob. So
nice.
But at any rate, you know, this is just a good soundtrack, you know. I played a fuck ton of this game when I was a kid, every time I was in Dothan, and I always wanted my own copy, and I didn't get it till I was an adult. But just the music was just, I thought, really solid. It actually was, some people would say it was kind of generic for like the whole army, war, you know, military game. But I really did think that it was actually a very fitting soundtrack, and it wasn't just, I think, more of the same how a lot of the other games of its type were. And on top of that, Jackal is just a really unique and good game. So there you go.
Yeah, I remember playing this game on Commodore 64. I don't think, was the soundtrack the same? I don't think it was.
I don't think so.
But I remember, like, at the time, this whole, like, driving a Jeep around, like, a much larger map that kind of scrolled in different ways than what we were used to. Like, that was a very kind of like novel thing. So
well, this game was also originally designed to use rotary joysticks, like in the SNK games,
right?
Like Ikari Warriors, but they ended up doing this one out for a joystick, I think, because of like cost. But it also, you know, it changed the way that the tactics were going to work on this game. It was a very solid game. And, of course, the music is just not even annoying at all. It's just really good. So, there you go.
All right. And lots of love for this in the chat room as well. Some folks saying, let's see, Metal Mayhem says, Jackal was one of those Konami NES games I saw advertised. I wanted on the NES. The only time I ever got to play it was on Game Room. The arcade version, I think, was there. As Joan Hunter Matt says, my brother and I played the hell out of this. So much better with two players.
I played this with my papa.
Aw, love that. Dr. Suya says, I do have the cart of this. Still haven't beaten it, though. And Questbuster says, the music
in Jackal... You haven't
beaten it? No day like today. Questbuster says, the music in Jackal was one of the reasons I kept coming back to the game.
Yeah, and it's all just that intro music where it has the build up and then goes right into it.
Let me play it. Wait, if I restart the thingy, hold on. If I go back to us in the studio and then I go and I hit the button to start the video again, yeah, you can hear this opening music again. Yeah.
That little bit of a key change between the two.
Yeah.
Just really, with the pause and then a key change. I was like, that's really, I mean, coming from a musical point of view, I know it's a fucking video game. No. But it is really dynamic.
No, but back in the day, in the 80s, with games like this, you know, sometimes you played the game just to hear the songs because there wasn't the YouTube, MP3s, OC Remix wasn't made yet. You know, you had to go to the game. You had to put the game in and listen to the music. And sometimes that's how you rediscovered a game that you may not have really played the first time.
I was telling Dan last night, just, you know, when I was thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And then I picked the music. I was like, man, I feel fucking heroic. So.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should. All right. There it is. Your classic soundtrack of the month, Jackal, on the NES specifically.
And just a point of order, we may see something on a different system next month.
Ooh, okay.
It's got to be an 8-bit, so that only limits your options.
Well, gee, I wonder what it could be. We'll see, though. We'll see. All right, what could it be when you put two 8-bits together to make a faux 16-bit? Because there was one console that did do that.
I'm not going to talk about the PC Engine.
All right, fine.
But I'll just put it this way. There may be some Sega love coming next.
All right. Gee, I would never have guessed.
Or it could also be Atari.
Okay. Oh, true. It could.
The 7200.
Speaking of Konami, old school stuff, you know that arcade collection is coming out very soon. Mm-hmm. So I'll be very curious. Even though, you know, some of the games, like Haunted Castle was kind of like the arcade version of Castlevania. Mm-hmm. But the gag is it's not that good.
Mm-mm.
Unless they may have put cheats in it. I bet they did on the Switch version so that you can just keep plunking in quarters, you'll probably get further in the game than you ever did before. Mm-hmm. But it'd be interesting. I don't know if Jackal was in it, though. I don't think Jackal's in it. But
I didn't remember seeing.
Yeah, I don't think Jackal was in the list. But yeah, I know that's coming out very soon, so some folks will be taking a look at that pretty soon. All right, anyhow, we're going to do a little pre-recorded segment that I did earlier today about another...
So it's just recorded.
A what?
So it's just recorded.
Yes, a recorded segment from earlier today. On another news item this week. So let's go to that. All right. Hello, everybody from the office studio. And I thought for our little middle of the show break this week, we could take a look again at the Switch Online and the classic NES library. But this time, you know, I know that last week we looked a lot at the comparisons between the American and the Japanese versions of the service. But this week, I want to take a look at some of the new offerings in the service. So as you guys know, there was some new stuff that was added, including a special version of Kid Icarus, as well as Punch-Out!, Star Soldier, and Super Mario The Lost Levels, which, of course, is Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan. So what I want to kind of focus on during the break this week is I want to take a look at these special versions that have been added to the service. You know, it's kind of interesting, this trend that Nintendo's been doing with the classic library is that it seems like every time they release new games, they've been doing like a throwback to one of the harder games from the previous month, allowing you to take it on in a whole new way, perhaps starting with full life or full coins or starting on the very last level of the game, which is the case with the Kid Icarus release this week. So if you actually look at, you know, the details, they try to give it like this fancy little name, like, oh, you're playing the Three Sacred Treasures level and, you know, you're not really finished. And it's basically a fancy way of saying we're starting you at the end of the game with all the items and full life and everything. So let's actually take a look. I'm going to load it up. And the interesting thing about Kid Icarus specifically was that the very last stage of the game, stage 4-1, was very different from any other level in the game. There was really no other level like it whatsoever. It plays more like a shooter game, whereas, of course, the first few stages of the game is a platformer, and the dungeon stages are also there, and yeah, it's just a very different type of game. So, obviously, we're flying through, and you notice Pit looks very different now, because the story with the game has him collecting the treasures in the various dungeons. So he has the wings, he has the special arrow, he has the shield, so that's why he looks a lot different. So we're obviously flying through here to make our way to Medusa, who, spoiler alert, is the final boss of the game. But I'm sure you all already knew that. It's interesting, too, because I haven't played this in a long time, the American release, but I've played the Japanese. It's funny, because I have to throw back a little bit to last week. I did play the Japanese release of this earlier, and believe it or not, it's different. Like, you actually use one of the buttons to fly, and I seem to remember you walk on this part. You can't fly underneath this brick like you can in this version. So the American version apparently lets you fly through walls, and that's something new. And you just use the control pad to move wherever you want. That's a very interesting little difference I'm noticing right off the bat, besides just all those sound differences we were noting last week. Well, this stage isn't very long. Once you get to the green brick, guess what? You are about to the Medusa fight. I think we just have to get through a few more mobs. Shoot my way through. Yeah, it's like a shooter, but it's not like, you know, for as hard as this game is, it's not exactly like Cuphead level shooting. I mean, sure, I've lost a little bit of health and been hit a few times so far, but it's not like, you know, I'm not like super dying or anything. All right, this level's longer than I remember. Maybe the American version is longer too, I don't remember. I played the Japanese one earlier this week when it was first released. Just because I wanted to hear the little subtle differences in the music that we talked about last week. But obviously, Kid Icarus is not the only game that's had an SP release. I know, like, Legend of Zelda, I did a stream on my personal channel once when that came out. They had a version that started you with all the rupees and heart containers and everything else that you can get. I swear this thing just looped me through the level twice. Isn't that what it looks like? I just looped through the level twice. I think I did. Maybe that's how they made it more difficult. You thought this was easy? Well, do it again. All right, well, maybe this time when we get to the green brick, we'll be able to fight Medusa. You know, the other interesting thing, though, even though it looks like I'm really close to dying, well, not only do I start with full hearts, so picking up the additional hearts really isn't doing me any good, but if you look at the special items, you'll notice I have, like, 8 life restoration items. So even if I were to lose all my health, which unfortunately seems very likely at this point, it's okay because my health is going to refill automatically. So it makes it very hard to die. So even if, like, you sucked at Kid Icarus as a kid, now's your chance to be a winner. Which hopefully I will get the chance here shortly without this middle point segment going on for 20 minutes. I'm pretty sure. Maybe there's something special I have to do to trigger the Medusa phase. I don't remember. I don't think so. I've got full hearts. What else could I possibly need? Oh my god, are we looping through it again? We might be. If that green brick goes away... Oh no, it just looks... There we go. There we go. Okay, now, yeah. Suspenseful music change. Here we go. Alright. So... Obviously, I want to dodge that dragon, which I'm getting hit with a bunch. You can deflect those little beams that are coming with the mirror. So as long as... But you'll notice the shield goes down for a minute when you shoot the... arrows, and I'm having a really hard time facing forward. This is probably part of my issue of using the pro controller. So I'm just going through those extra health like it's nobody's business. Hopefully, I'll be able to kill Medusa. Oh my gosh. I think this is one of the downfalls of using the pro controller is that... Oh, look at that. I found that sweet spot. There it is. That's right. I remember that being a thing now, is that there's like a sweet spot. There you go. And there's Palutena, I think. That's who that's supposed to be. Coming out of the eye. We did it. We beat it. Yay. Hooray. There it is. The ending screen. And I didn't have any help whatsoever. And he transforms. Again, interesting, because this is very different from the Japanese version. Now that that's recent in my head. Oh, no, they didn't hug in the Japanese one. Oh, that was a little kiss. No, all this, this like, blue scenery and everything, this is not in the Japanese version. It's just a black screen, but it has more writing, and then it says Fiend at the bottom. And I imagine this is the translation of the writing. It says, Medusa was destroyed, and the light of peace returned to Angel. I didn't read fast enough. I need to be a speed reader, clearly. And we get the staff roll, which, again, not present in the Japanese version. So I guess this did end up being a comparison video of sorts as well. But it makes it a lot easier to see things later in the game, thanks to these special SP versions. So I'm curious, are you guys checking out these SP versions, those of you that had Nintendo Online? Like, are you using this to see parts of the game that you couldn't get to as a kid? Now, I did beat Kid Icarus as a kid. I may have had some help from maps in Nintendo Power or whatever magazines were out at the time that helped me get through, like, the third dungeon and all that stuff, but I did beat it. But things like, I don't know, like, Ghosts and Goblins and some of these other games, like, I would never see these end segments of the game if it weren't for the SP versions. So I'm curious if you guys are checking them out, or if, you know, you're like, eh, I don't want to see it on easy mode. So, anyway, that's my question to you guys, and I think that's it for now. So we'll end on that lovely note where the hero is you, and copyright 1986 Nintendo. That's it. We're going to go back to the studio. See ya.
Thank you, me, for that lovely segment on the SP version of Kid Icarus, which was released into the Nintendo Online library on Switch in this past week. Have you guys? Oh, you guys don't really do a lot of the Switch Nintendo library.
I don't play it that often.
Yeah,
so, not really.
Yeah, I kind of check out the SP stuff once in a while. Well, especially kind of like I was saying there, the Ghosts and Goblins, but like things like I never was going to see otherwise. The Kid Icarus thing, again, humble brag. I saw that already when I was a kid, but also, I mean, all humble bragging aside, and I forgot to talk about it in the video, there was also passcodes we would always use, right? Like, was it like Icarus, Fights, Medusa,
Terror,
Angels?
Danger, Horror, exclamation point.
Yeah, so there were little codes you could use that would also get you a little further along in the game to see that level. But now, who needs codes anymore? You have SP versions.
We could sell you those codes for cheap.
Well,
$4.99.
At least Nintendo's not selling those SP. Well, unless you consider the price of the online subscription, what you're paying, but I think I'd let that one slide, considering that's not the only value in their online subscription. So anyway, let's travel around and check out some rapid fire news, some other quick things going on in the industry this week.
You also have a podcast of the week to mention.
Oh yeah,
as
let's
well.
Do that. Let's do, by all means, please. Okay. You have a podcast to plug.
Absolutely. This one comes courtesy of my friend Grim, who is the one of the creative talents behind Voodoo Walrus. And check it out. It's a really funny, cool adventure comic. But the podcast is called This Week We're Talking About. And they're up to 10 episodes from what I can tell so far. The last one was on April 4th. And they basically just pick a topic and talk about it. You know? It's like, but not with Katya or Trixie. But like this last episode is a Kiss retrospective, 1971 through 1974. And because Kiss is going to be retiring, because it's about time. I'm sure Gene Simmons' tongue has had so much Botox that it can't move out anymore. But yeah, check him out. Actually, the favorite title of all, actually, there's two titles I super like. One of them is Episode 8, We've Come to Teach You the Boundless Joys of a Life Without Pants. And, oh, it actually is Creep Night and Grim on that one. So, and then carbon units are not true life forms. And it's actually about Star Trek the Motion Picture. So, go. Check them out. There's only 10 episodes. You can catch up easy.
All right. Thank you for that lovely plug. I had to also plug the shows at VogNetwork.com because we have many shows that are a part of the network. Not all of them broadcast live on Twitch. A few of them do. Not including Anime Jam Session, which is hosted here on Tuesday nights. But I will. I'm going to plug my own show. I'm going to plug Shaking and Crying, which I do with the lovely Arya Snark. Speaking of Game of Thrones, Arya Snark is a cosplayer, but she goes by Victoria in the real world. This week we talked about. Victoria did the show High, so we talked about marijuana. We talked about 420 a little bit. And, you know, because that's coming up. So we had a very frank
conversation on that. So it was an interesting episode.
Also, the first full day of Passover.
Yes.
And guess what? Weed is kosher.
Good to know. Good to know. So you can check that out. Shakingandcrying.com, but that's just going to take you to a little subsection at VogueNetwork.com. Now we can get into some rapid-fire news. Loki.
So if you're a fan of old edutainment, and this was probably a little...
Am I?
This was probably a little after when I was actually playing a lot of those games, but you're probably familiar with Humongous Entertainment. And Humongous Entertainment did such wonderful series as Pajama Sam, Freddy Fish, Spy Fox, Putt-Putt, etc. Well, they have a bundle now on Humble Bundle, and you can get a shit ton of games for very little money. So, for a dollar, you get quite a few. So, Big Thinkers First Grade, Kindergarten, Fatty Bears, Birthday Surprise, Buzzy, The Airport, The Farm, The Jungle, Putt-Putt and Pop's Balloon-O-Rama, Doc on a Stick, and Activity Pack.
What was that birthday surprise?
That was Fatty Bears. Or Fatty
Surprise,
Bears.
Surprise,
yeah.
Your dinner.
That was that sounds like my trip to Chicago last year.
Mm. Let's see, where else? And then, of course, Spy Fox and Cheese Chase. So all that for $1. Not bad. And then, of course, if you pay the average price, which now is $11.16, but, of course, that changes as people are purchasing the bundle, you get Spy Fox 2, Putt-Putt Travels Through Time, Freddy Fish 2, Pajama Sam 4, Pajama Sam Lost and Found, lots of games, basically. And then, of course, $14 or more, you get even more games. So Pajama Sam 3, Freddy Fish 5, 4, Spy Fox 3, Putt-Putt Joins the Circus. There's just a ton of goddamn games in there. So if you really need to fill your Steam library full of humongous games, then go check that out on HumbleBundle.com. Because there's a lot. And then there was this lawsuit against Take-Two regarding Red Dead Redemption 2, because in the game, of course, there's the Pinkertons, which were kind of this rival to your gang. And apparently the Pinkertons are actually real. There is this Pinkerton Consulting and Investigation. They wanted royalties for every time the word Pinkerton was used in the game. But now they have dropped their lawsuit against Take-Two over their depiction of the Pinkertons.
Also, there was the Pinkerton Investigation Agency in Hong Kong Fui. Just saying.
So, that's been dropped. Unfortunately, that lawsuit being gone does not make Red Dead Online any better.
Fair enough. Maybe there'll be online in this game, although this is, this is one of those take it with a grain of salt because it's not confirmed, but... Usually the ratings boards, when we get leaks from the rating boards, we know there's something coming. Like those don't tend to be things that lie to us. So the Australian ratings board just approved something from Way Forward Games, the developers behind Shantae. And at Shantae, you stay. I can't say that game without saying that. Way Forward did other stuff, too, that was really cool. Did they do Blaster Master Zero? Was that?
No.
No.
But didn't they do, was it the DuckTales remasters?
Yes. So they've done some really cool classic remasters. Well, apparently the game that was rated was called River City Girls. So some people are wondering, is this Kunio-kun, which is the River City Ransom, right? Those games, is that here? Now, that franchise is by Arc System Works, but they have licensed that out for other releases, like River City Ransom Underground, which was by a Canadian studio. So... Did WayForward maybe make a new River City Ransom-esque game, but now it's, the twist is it's going to be Girl Fighters, maybe. Who knows, but I'm into it. I'm into, River City Ransom coming back. I think that's a fun twist on the franchise beginnings, so that'd be cool. Dark Sakura, I know you love the Kunio-kun type games.
I do.
Would you play River City Girls?
I probably would.
Yeah.
Especially if, the boys are the ones that are working at the cafe. And have to
have to smile for free.
Yeah, they're like they'd be prettier if they smiled more.
Fair enough. Why not? We'll give everybody a turn. And then that's all I have. So, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us for Rapid Fire News?
Well, for fans of Octopath Traveler who don't necessarily have a system to play it on, it's going to be on Steam, of course. Squenix is going to put it on Steam on June 7th. So... keep your eyes open if you sincerely want to play it, which honestly, it's not a bad idea, but I hope that it will, there will be a Mac version as well. And then, this one I thought was funny for all of you Oculus-issers. There's creepy messages on your controller. Well, at least a few thousand of them. So there were, you know, different versions that went out for testing, different, but about tens of thousands of Oculus Touch controllers have creepy privacy-related Easter egg messages written on the internal hardware. Like one of them says, "The Masons were here," inscribed on a cable. Others are, "Big Brother is watching." You know, and other developers will put jokes in their kits too. But here's a few others. One of them says, "This space for rent. The Masons were here. Big Brother is watching. Hi, iFixit. We see you." So, but they
it's
were
a throwback to Pinbot. Now I see you.
I can see for Bride of Pinbot. But yes. Yeah, but they basically were part of the prototypes and they went into production. But they're trying to keep them from happening again. But yeah, the affected touch controllers are shipping with the Rift S and Oculus Quest headsets. And they're not going to recall them because, I mean, why the fuck? It might be really funny.
It's not like we don't have hidden messages in a lot of things that we use in our everyday lives. For example, currency, right? Like coins, they have little, you know, things on them. Also, like, hello, don't you all know, like everybody loves In-N-Out when they come to California, right? You ever looked at one of the bottom of the cups at In-N-Out?
Bible verses.
There's Bible verses on them, so.
No, not on my cup.
Yes,
but thankfully,
on your cup.
They don't, you know, contribute money to.
Well.
Do they?
Nah, not to anti-LGBT, but, you know, it's just, you know, you got to do your research. I have a controversial opinion on all that anyway, but I, you know, I still eat it because they treat their workers very well, from what I understand, and kids really want to work there, so I think that's also very important.
I like that everyone who starts off there, even if they're, you know, fresh incoming CEO mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. or executive, mm-hmm. have to spend a day on the floor.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
They're
like
absolutely
that.
Required to.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you know what's interesting? The orientation I do at my work is the same.
Required? Why wouldn't you want to do that for a day? That'd be fun.
Yeah, just for a day.
Actually,
just
I
a
think
day.
For, just a day. I think for a week.
Oh, well, you know, why not? It's the best way to learn about what's going on, right? So anyway, but my point is, there's hidden messages in a lot of things. It sounds like this was one that wasn't meant to get out in mass. In fact, Bobby, who we all know loves his VR, in chat says, "iFixit does tear down YouTube videos." That's what the message was for. So
of yeah. course, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, well, you know, they tried to hide a cute message for those folks, and now it turns out a lot of folks see it.
I'll be honest. I have used iFixit before for lack of having a manual with me when trying to change out a hard drive. And it wasn't like on a PC. It was on. It was my old Toshiba.
Right. So, all right. Anyway, hidden messages. They're everywhere. All right, moving on. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates that are coming up.
Well, we've got Anno 1800 coming out on PC. Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD Remaster on the Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. We have My Time at Porsche on Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. World War Z on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Trooperbrook on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Cuphead on Nintendo Switch. And finally, Katana Zero on PC and Nintendo Switch. That's it.
Are you going to pick up Cuphead on Switch? I've heard a lot of people talking about
that.
I
have it on PC and I don't play it, so why would I pick it up on another platform not to play it?
I have it on PC and it makes me cry.
To continue to not play it? Aw, why is it just...
Because it's fucking hard.
I do want to pick up Earth Defense Force. I did hold off on picking that up this week because I knew I wouldn't get to play it this week, so which is why. And also, it's kind of expensive, but I do need to get it.
All right, let's talk about some titles coming out in Japan. On the PlayStation 4 this week, it looks like the biggest title they have there is Langrisser 1 and 2 on the PlayStation 4. This is a remake of these RPGs that were out on the Mega Drive in 1991 and 1994. So now it's like a 1-2 combo remastered for the PlayStation 4. So there's a regular and a limited edition of that, and that's on the PlayStation 4 this week. The other release in Japan this week, Override Mech City Brawl. is also out this week in Japan. And that is also on the PlayStation 4. Looking quickly at the Nintendo Switch, that Langrisser 1 and 2 is also out on the Switch, as well as a game called Taishu Cross Alex, excuse me, Alice All in One. That is the other release in Japan this week. Otherwise, it's a relatively slow week in Japan, but I know we're heading into a big holiday thing coming up here pretty soon, I think at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be slow for a little bit. How about Europe?
It's a little bit slow. I mean, there's some stuff to look forward to. So there is My Time at Porsche on April 15th. Also out on the 15th is World War Z. And then Final Fantasy X-2 HD Remaster. On the 16th, we have Snooker 2019, which is a pool game. On the 17th, we have Trooperbrook, Constructor Plus, and Our World Is Ended. And then on the 18th, Ghost Giant Deluxe Edition. That's it.
That's it.
And then my birthday, which is a game in and of itself, because trying to just live is fun.
That's right. Happy early birthday, because
by the time
we do another show, it will have passed, right?
Thank you. I'm old.
So, no, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
You're doing a 24-hour stream for your birthday, right? I'm just kidding.
No, I'm going to be in San Francisco.
Oh, that'll be Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, because you're not here on the next episode, right?
No, I am not. I am going to the conclave for the 40th anniversary of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
That's right, because I know you're very heavily involved with that. I would love to go. I have a very busy – next weekend is very busy myself, though. I'm hosting an event Friday here in SAC, a burlesque show in Old Town. And then Rocky Horror is on 420.
The very important thing, though, about
this,
though –
is it a themed burlesque show, or is it just a regular burlesque show?
It is a themed burlesque show, because it is also – it is that cannabis weekend, so it's a cannabis burlesque show.
That's interesting.
Come see what it is. Sorry, Jamie.
The other thing, though, about this particular one is that the Easter in the Park had been done traditionally at Dolores Park and had to move to Golden Gate Park when they changed the gathering rules for Dolores Park. They got special dispensation for the 40th anniversary to have it at Dolores Park again.
Yeah.
So if anyone, any of our listeners is in San Francisco, come find me. I will be in my sister persona. I'll be wearing a little blue and white Lolita dress with a floofy hat.
And I'm sure there'll be
pictures. And a veil.
There'll be pictures on social media,
and,
I'm sure.
But my face will be hidden. Can you find me?
It's where's Jamie? And I'm okay going off topic a little bit, because this is the part of the show where we would be answering your emails. Participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send us emails. And every week, Dark Soccer dives in the mailbag and finds what she wants to read about tonight. But this week,
someone washed the floor. It's not sticky anymore. It's clean.
So there's nothing in the mailbag once again.
Yeah. So because of that, I'm going to play Animal Crossing.
No, no. We're going to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, that's right.
So,
girl.
I didn't watch this week's episode.
Why?
Yet. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
It was so satisfying.
I know. I've heard what happens, because, you know, things get ruined on social media.
I was ready for that bitch to go. Now I got one more bitch to go. You know which bitch I want to go.
Probably Dr. Ganache.
Dr. Ganache.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Dr. Ganache is proof that you can be well-educated and still be a fucking moron.
Let's keep it positive. Who are you rooting
for? Positively stupid.
Who are you rooting for at this point in the competition?
Evie.
Evie?
I really like Evie.
Yeah, I like Evie too.
But I super love Miss Vanjie, and I want her to... I think Vanjie is going to get...
Miss Vanjie is going to get a spinoff series. Miss Vanjie is going to be like the Alyssa Edwards of this generation of Drag Race. You know what I mean?
Well, Miss Vanjie, though, I think is going to be... What's fan favorite called? Crap that De La got and...
Oh, Miss Congeniality.
Yes, thank you, because I was like, I couldn't make the word come out of my mouth.
Uh-oh, by the way, in chat right now, Frodo Swaggin says, reload the mailbag because I sent something 10 minutes ago.
Too bad, it's already closed. And you made me lose a fish, damn it.
Okay, all right.
Let me look at this freaking mailbag.
We can roll it to next week. Well, you won't be here next week.
I won't be. Then you can read it, Rob. It's up to you.
Go ahead. Let's do it. Loki is literally typing in chat, save me.
It's just called OLR. Okay.
All right.
Hey, OLR. Frodo Swaggin's here. I wanted to take a second to talk about Roblox.
It's coming up later in the show, but okay, it's fine.
I've always seen it on Xbox and PC.
It's on Xbox?
Yeah. I didn't know this was on Xbox. That's cool.
Because it's Windows shit.
Makes sense, yeah.
I've also seen people try to do add-ons for it that get their computers hyper-infected. Watch what your kids download.
Is that the technical term for it? It's Windows Shit.
Shit. Yeah, exactly.
Is that the technical term?
Yeah.
Is that what we call the Windows Store now?
I did this number. Sorry, Loki. I didn't mean to.
Very popular.
Anyway, I know it's
my
popular.
Son plays it every day.
Watch what he downloads.
I let him download whatever. What's he going to do? Hyper infect his computer that has nothing
email,
on it?
Please? Come to find out it's on all platforms, actually. I also just assumed it was going to be for younger age group just by looking at the title and screenshots. Anyway, last week I said, why not, and opened up the game, and holy shit, there are thousands of games in there to choose from. Not all games are great, but there are many gems here to have fun with. It's literally all I've been playing lately, especially some of the first-person shooters. The graphics obviously aren't anything special, but the gameplay is definitely there. Especially on PC with keyboard and mouse, the shooters feel great. Also been dumping hours into Restaurant Tycoon. Anyway, I had no idea what the heck Roblox was, and I'm glad I opened it up, LOL. Also, I've seen people making their own games and putting it on there. Loki, have you ever thought about making a game for Roblox?
No, I mean, sort of. I've looked at it, but I'm not really interested in Roblox at all. My son is. That's actually why he's doing his programming class now, because actually part of the programming class, once he gets high enough into it, because they have to learn Scratch, then JavaScript, then they actually do Roblox level making with Lua.
I keep forgetting your kid's going to finish a game before you do.
He doesn't.
Well, he already did a game.
He's done several. Because they have several projects that they work on. I just don't.
He had the John Cena game.
He had that, but he has several that he's done since then, because he's been doing it for like a couple months now. But no, once they actually get out of, he belts up to yellow, they start doing JavaScript and stuff. And then eventually, I think it's like they do Lua and Roblox, and they start teaching like level design, stuff like that. I've thought about it, but like, I just don't want to.
You should say you've made him a game, and it's nothing but like Josh's Adventures at the Broccoli Farm.
There's so much rampant like IP theft on that. It's just not even like you think like YouTube's bad with all like the weird children's programming, but like people like, because I think a lot of kids are making stuff. They don't give a fuck what they rip off. It's just like, oh, hey, I'm playing a Five Nights at Freddy's game. I'm sure you had permission to do that. Or, hey, I'm playing an Avengers game or whatever the fuck I'm playing.
The way I heard about Roblox the first time, and like I thought it was just like a kid-only thing, and I never even bothered to look at it. The way I heard about it was that there were – you know how I played those fakey-fakey Survivor and Big Brother games online, right?
Yeah.
Well, some of those people play Survivor Roblox games. And so that's
have all sorts of
this
things.
Is happening, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yes. Now who's derailing the topic, Dark
Ooh.
Sara?
Yeah, they have all sorts of like simulator games that he'll play and stuff. And that's fine. It's entertaining for him. It's free. He does want me to buy the premium currency for him every once in a while. But I'll do that like once or twice a year for him, and then that's it. But like they've got like physical toys you can get that unlock stuff in the games, and they have, and you can basically build a game and build your own like premium stuff in there that they purchase with their points, and you get money for it. This is what kind of the incentive.
So it's funny our emailer brought up Roblox, because I actually have a showreel story on it here later. We just haven't come across it yet. And so I only know of this game what my friends from the other stuff have told me about it. I haven't really bothered to do any research. So sometimes when I want to learn more about a game, I'll go look up Twitch streams.
Someone you should totally stream yourself playing Roblox. It's free.
Okay, maybe I will. But here's the problem. When I went into those like Roblox streams and like just clicked on some random ones, I sampled like four. Every single one of them was like a 13-year-old. And I felt fucking creepy, because I'm like, I'm a 40-year-old dude watching these 13-year-olds play like, where are the adults that
you
play
know
Roblox?
The average people that
exist.
Play Fortnite, though, and like Apex Legends and stuff is probably those same
I'm
people.
Sure.
So
I'm sure probably. You
whatever.
Know what? And see, when I was 13, back in my day, I was calling into BBSs and I bet like a lot of adults were on this. I remember talking to people that were in like their 20s and 30s, and I was 13 posting on these like fucking BBS threads and stuff like
sorry.
That.
Sorry,
it scared the hell. My mom hated it.
Sorry
she
to derail
that.
Once
I don't
again,
know what else?
But
is new.
It's. I did want to bring this up, and this is to your interest as well.
Hold on. Is the email done? Okay, the email's done. So we can do a tangent.
Sorry. So Humble Bundle, as I was talking about before, they have another bundle right now that is a classics video games. It's Boss Fight books, and they do kind of postmortems and stuff. Talk. It's a nonfiction documentary style books about classic video games. And stuff. The reason I mention this is in their $1 one, there's a book on ZZT.
Oh, get out.
And it, and not only ZZT, but Earthbound, Mega Man 3, Galaga, and then, of course, you know, if you pay the more than the average, which is $8, they have, like, Soft and Cuddly, Super Mario Brothers 2, Bible Adventures, Metal
Japanese
Gear Solid.
Or American one. And these are all, like, e-books, huh?
Yeah, these are all e-books. But, like, I saw the ZZT. I'm like, I may have to pick that up. And that's good for
that.
Another about 2.5 days. So
I hope I remember after the show to go look that up. I love ZZT. I'm curious, though, who the authors are, because if there are authors that work for a particular large gaming website, then I ain't interested.
It's Anna Anthropy.
I've heard that name before. I believe she was at one of the GamerX events.
Yeah, it says she's been author of Rise of the Video Game Zinisters.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I recognize the name from panels at GamerX.
Game creator, historian, 30-year-old teen witch.
All right. So okay, I can deal with that. Teen witches are so in right now.
Yeah.
Y'all watching Sabrina? All right. Okay.
Oh, and says she says her previous book, Rise of the Video Game Zinisters and Star Wench, which she recently made a ZZT version of.
Oh, so okay. So there's a little cred in there. She makes her own ZZT games.
So, yeah. So
all right, I'm into it.
Yeah, I'd have to definitely check that out.
All right, I'll check it out. All right.
Anyways, that's all I had.
No, that's fine. Let's move on. Let's get into some more gaming news. We have a few more things, and we're going to get to the Discord part of the show, and as well as any chat room comments. We'll get to that a little later on here in our roundtable. But first, Loki.
So this is interesting. We have Twitch actually releasing games on their platform. So this is a new free-to-play karaoke game called Twitch Sings, and it's a partnership between Harmonix and Twitch.
And it's been in beta for a while, it should be pointed out, because you've probably seen this on Twitch already, but only certain people had access to it.
So apparently, so they have now close to 2,000 songs, and we'll get new songs over time. And apparently it ties directly with players' Twitch accounts, letting them stream games without needing any sort of additional software or whatever. Interesting. And they also support duets using asynchronous multiplayer, where one person records half of it and the other person sings to the upload of that. Interesting. I have no interest in doing this whatsoever, but it's interesting that it's something that's available, and I hope we see more things like this, or, you know, Twitch-built games or something.
I downloaded it, and I'm too afraid to play it on stream. I gotta be honest, because my one, like, karaoke infamous thing I did was when we were at that theme park years ago, and I went in a sound booth and I did Madonna's Like a Prayer, because that was, like, a big thing you used to be able to do. Like,
you go
to sound
booth, you go and record your videos,
record your own thing,
the music
right?
video
No, it wasn't
thing?
A music video, it was a CD. Oh. And this is before, like, CD burners were everywhere. So, like,
that was the Great America, right?
Yeah, it was a Great America. I think
you were
there. You did something, too.
No, I didn't do that. Jessica did Lisa Loeb or something.
Oh no, Non Blondes. That was always her. Like,
no, she
song.
Did. She did Stay.
Oh, okay.
On that
yeah, that was one
of
her go-tos too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so anyway, well, the problem is that CD ended up in the hands of Travis Donovan.
Oh no.
And he made fun of it till the end of time. So it kind of, like, makes me nervous to do karaoke again. I've gone out and done karaoke at bars and stuff, but I don't know. Like, I'm not a great singer. Like, I'm not William Hung, but I'm not, like, great. I'm going to get off key sometimes. So it makes me a little scared to play it on Twitch. I did download the client just to see if I could play it, like, offline. I think I can, but I didn't even want to play it because Alan was home. I didn't even want Alan around when I was trying to play it. I should have played it earlier today when he went to the gym, but I was working on I did that movie you saw during the break instead when he was gone at the gym, so I don't know. Maybe I'll play Twitch Sings at some point. Would you be willing to do karaoke on stream, Dark Sakura?
I would do it once.
Once. Okay. All right.
I've done it, and I've been recorded before.
Maybe I'll do it for charity. Maybe that's what will finally get me to do Twitch Sings, if it's for charity.
Rock Band for charity, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
All
right.
By the way, why are all the copies of Robot Mundo, like, expensive?
I have no idea. Why?
I don't know.
All right. Moving on to talk about World of Warcraft, something a little more old school, and getting really old school pretty soon, because World of Warcraft Classic, as you know, is on the way out, because what's new is not good for some people. They want to go play the game the way it used to be back in my day. So World of Warcraft Classic is on the way, And people want to know, how's PvP going to work? Like, because, you know, PvP didn't just, like, end up in the game all at once. How is it going to work in World of Warcraft Classic? What's it going to look like when the game rolls out? And the answer is, it's going to be rolled out gradually, just like it was when the original game launched. So there will be no kill tracking or reward system at first. If you take down other players just to kill them, that's just good on you. EPing points, that's all you get. When phase two kicks in, there will be an honor system and rank rewards. And then the third phase will bring in the battlegrounds, Alterac Valley, Warsong Gulch. The fourth phase, Arathi Basin. The fifth phase, I don't think will affect PvP. I think they're doing other updates. And the sixth phase is finally the world PvP in the Eastern Playlands and Silithus. But we don't know how long these phases are. We don't know if they're months. We don't know if they're weeks or what that's going to look like. But I don't know. I really think all these people have been demanding the classic WoW, and I think they're going to download it, play it, and realize it sucks. Like, I just feel like Blizzard's pouring all these resources into something that's not going to last very long. I mean, I'm sure there'll be like a little audience that sticks with it hardcore. Now, if they were doing something a little more frozen in time when Wrath of the Lich King was current content, maybe. But even then, I still feel like it would be something where it's like, oh, you download the novelties, but you've just gotten too used to the quality of life stuff that's in the MMOs now. Like, when people realize that there is no flying mounts, that's going to be irritating. When people realize that, oh, there's weapon skills you have to level up because that's what you used to have to do in WoW, they're going to be annoyed. Like, there's a lot of things where the quality of life, you forget, like, how much these games have progressed because, oh, everything sucks now, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, World of Warcraft Classic. I'll still check it out. Like, I mean, it's supposed to be free if you're a WoW subscriber anyway, which I am. So I'll check it out anyway, but it's just, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, there is a documentary coming about. This comes actually from Destructoid, but they are doing a project about Shirley Curry, who is the gaming grandma. And so they're going to basically, it's going to be, actually, no, it looks like it's already released, but it's for her 83rd birthday. Going through Skyrim and YouTube and how all of these people have affected her life and how she keeps doing it and enjoys what she does. So I think it's pretty cool. And I'd say if you want to watch it, I'll link the page for it in the chat room. But it's on Destructoid. And I think it would be a worthwhile watch.
And this is the same grandma that is like known for Skyrim. And we just had a story like 2 weeks ago about that she's in Elder Scrolls 6 now.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She seems like a fun lady. So, all right. I tried to get my mom into games, but she wasn't having it.
I can just imagine your mom. Sit her down with Skyrim, you know, and what she would say.
No. Yeah. She would. Yeah. No.
I detect holding a controller like this.
She'd be like, what do I do? There's too many buttons. She wouldn't. You do it. I'll just tell you what to do. No. The only games I could ever get my mom to play would be like Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Family Feud, like the game show games. Mm-hmm. She would play those, but she would still be like, you type it in. You run it. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Why don't they have game show games like in VR? Like, imagine actually being able to spin the wheel in Wheel of Fortune.
I'm sure somebody's working on something like that. I was going to say just waiting for VR to gain a little more of a foothold, but honestly, PlayStation VR is so like out there now. I'm surprised there isn't a Wheel of Fortune VR game.
You can even have someone host it or something. I don't know. It'd be funny. Just like,
I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. These
I smell money.
These games, live game show apps are all the rage now. Did you know that even dating apps have like game show things in them?
What?
Yeah.
Are you saying there's like a Tinder game show now?
Yeah, sorta. Like, I wouldn't expect you to know about this because it's a gay dating app. But there's a gay one called Scruff that, like, you know, gay dudes use to find each other. And this thing has a game show built into it that they do. That's just, it's the exact same thing as HQ. It's the exact same thing as that, but it's in this. And they'll do a thing where they're all like, if you've been eliminated from the game, you can swipe to the side and see other players that have been eliminated, and you can tap on their profile to save them for later or whatever. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But, yeah, they do, like, a game show and I know it's funny, but like it's all the rage, these game show things.
Okie doke.
And I don't think it's just dating apps that are doing them too. So I'm surprised that we don't have like an HQ type of thing on PlayStation yet or Microsoft. Maybe it's a matter of time. I don't know. So let's see. Kaijudo says, I was watching a trivia show in Alt Space VR. SSU 100 Matt says, got to have a VR match game with a digital Charles Nelson Reilly. Hell yes. Well, ABC's been reviving all those old game shows. Like Match Game is back on ABC, and they're doing a Press Your Luck. And I think was the other one Concentration, maybe that they're doing too. Mm. I don't know, but they're adapting. Yeah, ABC is having a lot of those game shows are probably more successful than American Idol reboot's doing. So you know, it's just,
that's on air.
It's like literally on right now. Like on the like there's an American Idol thing on now. Like against Game of Thrones. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I guess it's.
Something, I didn't even realize that was on.
Yeah, no, it's back. Well, like, it's not even Simon Cowell ain't there anymore. It's Katy Perry, some country guy, Luke something, and Lionel Richie.
Yeah, I watched that, like, part of it last season.
I don't really watch.
I don't remember.
I don't watch the show, but I see the emotional porn clips on Facebook of, like, this really sweet audition that just knocks it out of the park. You won't believe what happens at the 75-second mark. Like, those types of things.
I just, nah. Nah, I'm not doing this. I tried to, we tried watching it, I think. We just got bored of it really fast.
All right. Let's move on. A few more stories for you guys before we get to Discord, if we have anybody tonight. Unfortunately, because of those things, our live viewership is a little lower this week. How long is this season of Game of Thrones? It's only like 6 or 7 weeks, right? It's a short season.
Yeah, it's like 8 episodes, right. I think.
No offense, but good. It's cutting into our numbers. All right. A few more stories for you guys first, though. Loki.
So in case you're not aware, there is this Twitter account called Can You Pet the Dog, which basically answers or asks that question among lots of things, including games, or I'm assuming just games. But apparently, one of them, it actually looked at Enter the Gungeon, and it said no. And so Enter the Gungeon, of course, the devs behind that, once people, I guess, saw that, they prompted them to, like, hey, you know, why can't we pet the dog in the game? So with the latest update, they have now added the ability to pet the dog into the game, in which the, of course, tweet was deleted from the Twitter account, Can You Pet the Dog, with now it being updated to say, yes, yes, now you can pet the dog.
All those updates just to get on the website that yes, you can now pet the dog.
Yes.
What happens when you pet the dog? Does it just go arf?
I don't know.
Because like in some games, when you go up and talk to the dog just goes woof! Exclamation point, and that's like you petting the dog. I don't know,
but you can.
I guess I'll have to download and see. I don't know. All right. Anyhow, and lastly tonight, my last story that I had earmarked for tonight was about Roblox. So I guess we kind of already got into that discussion earlier, but the notable landmark for Roblox is that they have hit 90 million monthly active users. They announced that news today, actually. This gaming company is also going to be expanding into other territories. French and German languages will be added into the game, and even more languages from there. So in a statement, the president of Roblox International, which, yes, is a thing, Chris Minzer said, Roblox is where anyone can unleash their creativity and have fun with their friends no matter where they live. By bringing top games and resources to French and German audiences, we're uniting the next generation through a truly global platform for play. Everyone playing it is 13, I'm telling you.
Or younger.
Or even younger. No, there was one or two people in chat that were like, I'm 30 and I play it. So I'm just saying, I just know, wow. I feel old. I don't usually get that feeling a lot, but and Dark Sakura, if you're in your feelings right now with your birthday being this week, I implore you, do not watch Roblox streams because you'll just be more in your feelings because that's okay. Where I was today.
I have no feelings. My heart shriveled up.
All right. So congratulations, though, to Roblox. No, you know what? I will say this. I will say that it's really cool that Roblox is getting kids interested in programming and stuff. Like the way you describe it, that is pretty rad. So as much as I like poke fun at this game, tongue in cheek, I think that is really cool. Wow, breaking news. I had no idea this was the case. Bobby Blackwolf is telling me Buzzer, the network on Twitch that has all the classic game shows, is no longer airing.
Mm.
That's tragic. Is the over-the-air buzzer still there? I'm sad. What happened? Did they put a goodbye message or anything? Mm. God damn it. This is why we can't have nice things. I love my classic game shows. But I guess that's true. Actually, I feel like it probably went off the air a while ago. I haven't seen it in a long time, actually. So they probably pulled themselves a long time ago. No, I don't see anything. It just said, we'll be back soon. All right, then.
Yeah, soon as any time.
Yeah, that could be anything. All right. Well, anyhow, hopefully you'll be with us very soon. We're going to take some calls now via Discord. So if you want to be on the show, you can join the Green Room over on the VOG Network Discord, which, again, is accessible over at VOGNetwork.com/Discord. Although, of course, nobody's there right now. I have a feeling it's going to be a very slow week just because our live listenership is a little bit lower than usual. And I imagine all the TV going ons and other things.
Chair of Swords.
Well, not just that, but if I'm not mistaken, if Easter is next weekend, then that means spring break started this week for a lot of people,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's probably cutting into it, too. So I don't think it's just the HBO show's fault and that sort of thing. So we'll take questions in our chat and comments as well over at VOG. Well, I mean, VOGNetwork.com will get you there, but over at Twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. So, Kaijudo says, I just saw Buzzer a day or two ago. It's a sister network on one of my local channels. Yeah, they are, you know, when TV switched from analog to digital, right? So, like, TVs don't have the dials anymore. Or if you had a TV that had the dials, you had to get an adapter to get digital signals. That changed, like, God, that was probably like 8 years ago at this point. It's been a while. When the expansion to digital happened, there's more room. There's more bandwidth. So
it's off the air because I'm like, it seems to be pulling up on their website. I don't know if maybe they're streaming through a different platform or something.
Interesting. I don't know.
But they have it.
Or like, that could actually, that could be the buzzer. That could be the buzzer network that's over the air.
Maybe.
That's just on their but I can't pull that up on my Xbox One. That's what I like to do with the Twitch app is I would just pull up Buzzer and watch old game shows. So. Anyway, but the digital expansion happened. So that's why you have like all these like little networks that your like, you know, like your CBS station. Like here we have what CBS is 13, right? So I think 13.2 is like the CBS all news network all day. And it just is news all 24/7. And I think there's another one that's just weather 24/7. And so that's where Buzzer goes on some of these areas is that they just go on one of the digital channels. Some will do like Christian programming all day long, depending on what part of the country you live in, or other types of religious programming, or possibly Spanish language programming is another one. There's another one that's on. Movies. There's some that just show classic movies all day long.
Yeah.
So it just depends. Let's see. Frodo Swaggins is asking in our chat room, did Facebook streaming ever go anywhere? Oh, it's still a thing. I see. Because it's so easy from your mobile phone. I mean, like the real life streaming,
well,
I see that all the time.
Like,
still.
I was watching, because I was a YouTuber that I watch, Ollie43, who does a lot of Grand Theft Auto stuff and all sorts of other games. But he, for a while, tried doing live streaming from Facebook for the Facebook gaming stuff.
So specifically gaming, okay.
Yeah, so Facebook gaming stuff. And his thing takeaway from it was, when he did like his first few streams, he got quite a few views on there, but then it really dropped immensely afterwards. Like he was getting just no traction whatsoever, and he thought it was probably their algorithm that's fucking with it. And so he's basically given up on it and going back to Twitch and YouTube instead. So it sounds like it's still out there, but however they have their algorithms, it's not working out
Facebook
very well.
Might have had that curiosity factor at first, too. But then, like, now people aren't talking about, oh, Facebook's getting into gaming streaming, so people aren't looking at it.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part
so,
of it.
So it's there, but I don't know how long.
The problem where I think a lot of the competitors to Twitch and so forth have a real problem getting their foot in the door is because Twitch has an app. Twitch isn't just a website. Twitch is a phone app. Twitch is an app on PlayStation 4. It's an app on Xbox One. And I would bet those that are watching the show right now, some are probably on their PCs. Probably most are on their PCs or Macs, whatever, you know, desktop computers right now watching the show. And I would say quite a few are on their mobile phones watching, probably. So they can watch from their bedroom or while they multitask or something. Maybe some might just have their headphones in because you can just listen to audio only on Twitch. So some people might be doing it that way. And then some folks might be on their PlayStation or their Xbox One streaming through it right now. And that's what's so, I think, great about Twitch. When Facebook Gaming came out, the only way to watch it was on PC or Mac or whatever. Could you even do it on the mobile app? Maybe. You probably could do it on the mobile app, but that's it. It wasn't really baked into consoles or anything else. At least Mixer, you know, which is probably Twitch's biggest. Well, Mixer and YouTube, I guess, which are probably the biggest competitors. YouTube is also available everywhere, right? We know that. YouTube's everywhere. Mixer is on most of those places. It's just not on the PlayStation or the Nintendo Switch. But if these rumors and things about Nintendo and Microsoft being in bed together continue, I would bet we're going to get a Mixer app on Nintendo Switch before we get a Twitch app on Nintendo Switch. Not saying you're going to be able to stream your games. I don't know if the Switch has the power for that, but you might be able to watch at least. I mean, YouTube is on there now. Am I correct? So
yeah.
Yeah. And sure enough, look, and our chat lights up there. And Bobby says the Fire Amazon Fire TV stick finally got a Twitch update. ActDeft is using his PlayStation 4. Spyro557 Jonathan's on his phone. Frodo Swaggins is on his phone at work. So people, that's the great thing about Twitch, in my opinion. And one reason why I was really sold on the move over from how we were doing this before on Shoutcast.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't really do Shout. I mean, you could do Shoutcast on mobile, but it was like you had to know that you really download an app called TuneIn, and that will get you into it, and like all this stuff. Like it just wasn't the same. Like Twitch is very, very easy, and that's kind of what I like about it, to be honest. Anyway, I do see we have a call waiting in the green room, so I want to go ahead and take a call here. I just closed my control panel, however, so there we go. I think I can do my drag and drop now. Yes, there we go. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
Hey, it's good to hear from you, ActDeft. What's up, buddy?
Well, I want to talk about Pokemon Go and pretty much all the events we've had for the last, like, 2 months, maybe?
There's been a lot, right? Because we don't just have the community days, but we've been having these research days, right? So it's been a lot.
Yeah, it's been a lot. We've had the, at least in the last month, we've had the Equinox event. We've had also the Lotad and Castform event. Then we also had Trico last month. We had just the Bagon Community Day also, and we had this past week. What other event we had? Oh, the bug out event. So yeah, there have been like really, really tons of events. But my question here for you and anyone on the studio playing Pokemon Go, have you liked the events at all? Have you literally been like excited to play an event
when I can go to them
on Pokemon Go?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Jamie. I like the concept of the events. I think they're doing too many of these limited time of events. I think these like week long things, like the Bug Festival or the raid bosses, are changing. That's fine, but like there's too many things that are limited time, and then you have that whole FOMO, fear of missing out, and you feel like, well, if the object of the game is to collect them all and I can't do every event, then I've flopped and I might as well quit playing. And like these things like the lunchtime raids, like in theory, that's a good idea, but that they should be doing it like more often than what they're doing. Or the, you know, the community day and stuff, that's fine and good. But like, I can't like put aside this specific 3 hour window to go do these things every time, you know, at the whim of Niantic and whatever window they choose. That's why I think the Lotad event and the Castleworm thing ended up being a little better, because that had the 9 hour window on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a little better. So you didn't feel the need to grind the entire 9 hours. You just did it enough to get like your one or two. But then I guess the shiny drop rate was so low on some of those. Some people did grind for hours and hours and still didn't get what they were looking for. So I think Niantic in some ways has to find the balance there. But I think as far as like the burnout of Pokemon Go with all these events and the limited event fatigue, I think it's very real. Like, I have a friend who is a big presence in Pokemon Go, like like he doesn't lead the raid group, but he's kind of like the vice lead of a big raid group here locally. And he kind of said, like, yeah, I'm just getting really kind of, like, Pokemon Go is kind of starting to drag a little bit. Like, it's just not as exciting as it used to be. So he picked up Ingress. And, like, he's gone, like, off the deep end in Ingress. I mean that in a good way. Like, he's already up to, like, level – he's going to be level 9 pretty soon, which, you know, takes a little while to grow. I know it doesn't sound like a long way, but it's a pretty long way in Ingress. And, it, like, he's just enjoying that right now. So it's – and I'm sure when the Harry Potter game comes out, of all things, it's going to make this worse because so many people are going to want to jump ship to Harry Potter. Now, is that really a loss for Niantic? I guess not. If they're just – it's kind of like – it's kind of like when people leave World of Warcraft to go play Overwatch. Is that really a loss for Blizzard? Not really, because you're still kind of keeping them in the system, keeping it in the fam, so to speak. So, yeah, I don't know. But how are you feeling about it all, ActDeft? And what's the impression from you as well as, like, your community?
Well, mostly my community has been somewhat liking it, but I understand most of the frustration coming from the lots of people and friends that are playing right now. Because, like, for example, the past bug out of band that lasted a week, did you get any, like, shiny from it?
From which event?
I didn't get any from the last one.
Yeah, from the bug out of band. From
shiny, oh, the bug shiger, event. Yeah. No. I didn't get any. I'm sorry. When he was saying that real fast, I was like, "Is that bag on?" I got no. The bug event. I didn't get anything. I already had a shiny Caterpie. I had that from before. I got it in a research task. But I know, like, Scyther was the new one. No, I didn't. I saw Scythers everywhere, but I didn't get a shiny.
Yeah, and many people were frustrated because of that. Because they all wanted a shiny Scyther. I managed to get one, and I was, like, really, really lucky. But so many people, even in my personal raid group, like, were really, really frustrated. They were like, oh, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this every single week, like, per se. Because if we're not going to get, like, new content, we're not going to get, like, that really, really big chance of getting a shiny. And I understand that a shiny, it's like a really, really lucky occurrence. It shouldn't be like, oh, they just toss them around, especially with this kind of event. But still, it's like there's no not gonna say pressure, but there's no really a really great reward,
yeah,
for doing those events. So yeah, you just play normally.
I think Pokemon Go could really benefit from, like, a crafting system sort of thing. Like a way – and, you know, not maybe, like, literally the way you might interpret when I say that. But, like, you know, a way to sort of guarantee that you can get a shiny Scyther if you do, like, a lot of work. Like, you might still have a chance at it through RNG, but, like, you guarantee yourself, like, one if you're willing
you can
to
make
do certain
your
work.
A lure item for a shiny.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because they don't want to give out – well, I've heard that might be something, because, like, somebody did data mining. I've heard there is, like, a shiny, it's either a lure or an incense. I think it's an incense thing that they're looking at doing, like, that would attract more shinies. But I also realize Niantic doesn't want to necessarily give away shinies like candy, because there's only so many. And then, like, if somebody fills out a Pokédex of shinies, then what? You know, like, what's left to do in the game for some people? So they want to keep people coming back. So, but I think of things like the Meltan quest. That took a long time to do. Or the, what was the one? The Halloween.
I still don't have a Meltan, orb, by the way.
I know, because it's hard to find the Aerodactyl, huh? Spirit Orb, I think.
I've had a bunch of Aerodactyls.
Had a Spirit Orb.
I just
orb.
Keep forgetting the transfer stuff to my Let's Go game.
But, you know, they had a quest too. I think maybe if there was, like, some type of questing or some other way you could, like, guarantee you to get a shiny if you do a lot of work, if you spin a stop every day, if you're checking it. Like, I think it would help, I think, with some of that, so that at least you can still get the reward and not feel like you're just at the mercy of the random number generator.
Yeah, and I've seen concepts of that, like the shiny incense, and also, like, in the main games that you can have a shiny charm. So you could possibly get that. They could reward it if they're planning on expanding levels, like, instead of 40 being the limit, like 45 or 50 being the level limit, they can probably reward a shiny charm for those getting to those levels.
Or, you know, maybe you'll hate me for putting this idea out in the universe, but one big thing they started doing in Ingress when they released Ingress Prime is that now you can do something called recursion. So if you were a max level agent in Ingress, level 16, you could basically go back to the beginning. You wouldn't lose your badge. You wouldn't lose your perks that come with the leveling. You wouldn't lose, like, your badges or anything. You wouldn't lose your lifetime AP is still tracked, but basically you go back to level 1 and level again. I actually did it, and I'm only on level 10 in the recursion process now, so I still have 6 levels to go, which can take me a very long time. But my point is, we're still waiting to see what the perk is for recursing in the first place besides the shiny badge, but what if they brought in a similar type of system in Pokemon Go where, okay, you've hit the max level. You've gone as far as you can go in Pokemon Go. You can reset back to level 1, but you get a big reward, like a shiny charm maybe would be like your reward for resetting back to level 1. I bet you there's people that would do it for a shiny charm, Shane, or maybe like a permanent incubator, a second permanent incubator for recursing, going back to the beginning. There might be some people that would be really intrigued by that idea. So I don't know. This is something that I think when we talk about extra levels in Pokemon Go, I have a feeling they might do something like the recursion from Ingress instead, or prestiging is how they call this in other games too.
And yeah, that would be actually awesome. I would be down for that actually, because even right now, and as SSJ100 Matt is saying in chat, you get to level 40 and Lucky X are like, yeah, I don't need them. I have no use for them. I have like almost like more than 40 Lucky X that I don't use because I don't have the need for them. So yeah, having like recursive or prestige, whatever they want to call it, yeah, it would be great because I would be like more incentivized to play more because I would like to get those rewards again at level 20, level 30, or even getting again to level 40. That would be like really awesome. The game is fine right now. It isn't, and like Bobby Buckwolf says, also a dead game. It isn't at all.
Well, he always says that. Just ignore
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's the recurring joke there. But still, there's many people that think that, and it isn't. But it's starting to feel like it is going to be a dead game. It won't
feel like a job, and games shouldn't feel like a job.
Yes.
And I see people that treat Pokemon Go and Ingress as their job, you know, and it's like you just kind of like, okay, you don't want to let a game dictate that much. You know what I mean? It's really kind of hard to watch that. But maybe Niantic is listening and maybe would adapt some of these ideas. I think that would be very exciting. But I will say this, you know, despite this conversation about some of the troubles of Pokemon Go, I don't know about your neck of the woods, but like Community Day yesterday down at Capitol Park where I usually go, it was hopping. Like it was more crowded yesterday and I've seen it in quite a while. So I don't know if that's just because the weather was really good too or what, but it was hopping yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that effect on my neck of the woods.
Were there server problems?
Yeah, there's...
Not in the States.
Yeah, there were server problems in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always happen in Japan. It's like...
Well, they ended up extending it in Japan.
What happens is because now they do it time zone by time zone. Who has the first time zones on the planet? That region, like Australia, Asia, they get the first ones. And so all the problems show up then.
Yeah, and Japan is always a given that it's going to fail at least at the first hour. So yeah, they always extend it. They always do something like that because it always fails because there's way too many people playing in Japan.
Yep.
And not mentioning spoofers, but yeah.
Well, I was gonna say I didn't notice anything going on. So
no, it was fine here. No. But California, if you think about it, we're one of the last areas to do Community Day because the only place on Earth that has time zones later than us is like Hawaii, Alaska. And Alaska would be the last.
They are earlier than us.
Would be the no. They would because they have to wait till it's 3 o'clock in their region. So
oh, I see. What
and
you
they're
mean.
Behind. So Hawaii is like the last on the planet to do the Community Day, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah. Going back to the Community Day thing, it was pretty great. The past two Community Days have been really packed. there have been way more people than in previous community days, and that has been awesome. But something that is going to suck, but really, really suck, is coming into the summer, having the 3 to 6 time in a 110 degree weather. Yeah.
I don't know if you caught me. I complained about this exact thing earlier. I said they're going to need to reevaluate those times when summer gets here, because 5 o'clock is the hottest point of the day. So either it needs to go
morning.
Back. What?
Do it in the mornings.
Or yeah, they need to go back to the 11 a.m. time frame, or I'm just going to go play indoors. Like, we have a mall here that has 10 Pokestops. It's enough.
Yeah, that's what we're planning to on possibly Torchic Community Day. We're going to the mall. It has 4 or 5 Pokestops too, and 2 gyms. So we're gonna be fine. There's tons of Pokemon spawning there. So yeah, because in the summer, at least we would have endured the first hour and a half being outside at middle of the day. But still, it would have been like, okay, we can endure it. But 3 to 6 is gonna be like hell, literally hell. Because yeah. It's going to be way too hot.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm like, while it's on my mind, I'm like, next time I go to Galleria, I need to submit more Ingress portals there. So that way, by the time summer rolls around, maybe there'll be some more Pokestops. Like, kind of help myself in advance.
That's what I'm thinking, too. That's what I'm thinking. Do it with my brother, since he's level 10. Dude, we can make more portals there.
Yeah. Go get him to submit some portals at the mall. Get ready for that, because those take a few months to go through. So get working on that.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. And it's always good to talk to you. And have a great week, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me. And good luck with shiny Latios.
Thank you. I'll try my best. Take care, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. Always good to hear from ActDeft. And I think on that note, that's probably the – I didn't see anybody else in the green room waiting, so I think we'll probably wrap up on that note. But thanks, of course, to everybody who's listening live tonight and participating. And, of course, if you're listening on the podcast feed or watching the Twitch archive, then that is all fine and dandy, too. We appreciate that as well. Hey, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to chat with us, how can we possibly get all the opinions out there? We need people who want to pay for DLC to unlock everything in the game. We need more of those types of opinions and the other sorts of takes there.
And if you only have one friend, then tell your one friend.
Yes. And or leave us a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play or, a nice Twitch hosting. I really can't tell you how far that stuff goes in helping. Like, Twitch hosts and 5-star reviews on podcast apps are, like, the number one way to, like, help this grow. And, of course, word of mouth.
And buying me a pizza.
No, buying Jamie a pizza will do nothing. That's just something she wants.
But making me happy makes me have more incentive to do things.
Anyway.
Although staying in bed also works.
All right. Well, we're going to go around and give everybody's final thought, because we're about to wrap up for the week here. Dark Soccer will not be joining us next week, as she has her Easter commitments in the Golden Gate Park in San Francisco.
And I'm going to be old.
Oh,
I'm going to be too old and feeble.
Happy early birthday, and none of that.
I'm going to come in with a cane.
Your birthday.
Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to be doing none of anything.
All right. But happy birthday.
Thank you.
Remember when we were kids and we first met?
No, I'm too old to remember that
shit. Remember, OLR, my God, how old was I when OLR started? Like 24. It's crazy to
think. I was still older.
Just not by much. So
I think I was still in my, I was in my 20s.
All right. Let's go around to everybody's final thought. Dark Soccer, we'll start with you. Have a good week off next week. We'll miss you. Our aim will continue to improve.
Womp, womp.
Cadbury cream eggs.
Speaking of eggs, and this is my final thought. Dear Animal Crossing, put more of these fucking eggs where I can find them. I need 150 more so I can get the stupid bunny and get more fucking leaves. Leaf tickets or points or whatever the shit they're called.
Frodo Swaggins wants to know, what day is your birthday?
The 19th.
The
19th. It will officially be at whatever 2 a.m. is Central Time.
All right. Fair enough.
Because I was born into Central Time.
Loki. So that would actually be midnight here the day before, if you think about
it. I take that 4 a.m. Central, so it'd be 2 a.m. here.
Okay, so it's 4 a.m. Central,
yeah,
2 a.m.
Yeah, 2 a.m. here.
I was also born early in the morning. I was a 5 a.m. baby.
I woke up my mama with labor because I'm a brat.
All right. Listen, I'll do my final thought. My final thought tonight is I'm going to try to get to at least level 20 in Borderlands and keep my going my way through the story and probably hit level 70 on all the healers in Final Fantasy 14 as well. That'll probably be my week. And then I have to think about what I want to play after that because I'm not sure yet. Loki, your final thought.
I'll probably finish the other two Toy-Con things that I have still for Labo VR. And I'll try to roll back my insane Borderlands save hacking to it's the damn game because it crashes whenever I go to the actual perk screen, and that's what causes the crash every time for no reason. And so, and it's apparently this bug is not necessarily just from what I've been doing. It's related to the physics, and it's also from the original game, like the original release. And so it's a bug that they've had in there. They patched out and then remastered the bug. So yeah, that's what we'll be doing this week.
Mr. Smush,
Mr. Smush sounds like he's in heat.
He does that all the time. He's just screaming in the other room.
Which, you know, something like that used to happen for Becky because I would hack her Mass Effect save file. So, like, she could use, like, one of the hairstyles that's programmed into the game, but it wasn't
about
available.
Mr. Smush screaming still. I was like, what? What? You hacked the cat?
No, I didn't hack the cat. I like Mr. Smush.
Me too. I just wish he'd scream
less. I like
his
weird, funny, smooshy face.
Alan keeps saying the only way to shut him up is to get another cat.
Then you have two cats yelling.
I know. That's exactly my response. Then we'll have two cats yelling and knocking everything over when
Midna
they
play
with
each other.
Midna
was yelling at me today because I took her outside on her leash and she was mad.
All right. That's it. We're out of here for the week. We'll see you in 7 days. Loki and I'll be back here in 7 days. Dark Soccer will still be playing Animal Crossing, I'm sure.
No, it's Retsuko.
Oh, sorry. My old eyes can't see across the room.
Girl.
All right, that's it. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody, and happy gaming. Be nice to people online. It's the right thing to do. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.